Of celebration comes the inevitable hangover as we learn of a few cancellations, extensions of life, and a look back at what may have been. We hope you still have all your fingers, eyebrows, and all other appendages intact so they can join us right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It's Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight on July 9th, 2017, with episode number 693 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm joined, as I am every week over the last, 692 episodes, since this is 693, with my co-host. Say hello over there to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay.
Did you have a good 4th of July holiday?
I stayed inside, so it was great.
Yeah.
I had a bit of a headache, and I didn't want to be around other humans.
Yeah.
So it was great.
I had a really terrible day, but it got worse because somebody set off a firework at 3 in the morning, and it sounded like they fired a gun. Like, I seriously thought somebody got in our backyard to fire off a bottle rocket or something because it sounded like such a large explosion.
That sucks.
And I just, oh my gosh, it was so terrible. But we were able to, Alan's birthday was Friday, so we got to go to Benihana. So, things got better. But, oh my gosh, I was like a zombie at work on Wednesday. It was so unfair.
Mm.
So unfair. So I know it's a radio show, so our listeners can't see your shirt. But your shirt today says, Slay
All Day.
Slay All Day. Where did you get that? Did you make
that? Target.
Target has a shirt that says Slay All Day?
I also have a shirt that says Can't Adult Today. So.
Did Target sell that too?
Yeah.
Wow. I had no idea that they sold such hip things.
Sleeveless muscle shirt. But this is what I wore to Pride. This whole outfit's what I wore to Pride.
Nice.
Including
the boot, which you are still rocking.
It split on the toe.
How much longer are you in the boot for?
Till the 25th.
Okay, well, I guess that's manageable.
Which is right before California Extreme.
Yes.
So I'm so happy.
Which I am. I am still planning to do California Extreme, but I'm planning myself a long week, a long day. Well, I'm only going to go Saturday. Because I don't want to rush on Sunday because I'll be dead. But
that may be all that we're doing is Saturday.
I'm going to go to Rocky Horror in the city Saturday night and go visit my old pals on the cast over there that I used to perform with. So that's my plan. So I'm going to have a very busy day on that Saturday. But California Extreme, I'm really excited about it. I haven't been in 7 or 8 years.
Really?
Oh, it's been a long time. Well, Gamer X was the same weekend a couple of years. That was unfortunate. And then I don't remember what came up. It's just, trips or something always kind of held me back.
I want to rotate my foot.
Oh. All right. I want to make sure while you stretch your foot and do what you need to do, I want to introduce Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
How are you doing, Loki?
I'm fine.
So the 4th of July, a holiday about fire. Surely one that you participated in?
No.
No?
No, the fireworks here suck, so I'm not going to spend any money
True.
On them. I mean, literally, you can spend one firework that they have that lasts for maybe 30 seconds is $20. No thanks. They just get worse every year, and I just didn't want to waste some of my money on it.
Yeah, the fireworks are not that great, but you know what else is really awful is fires. So I understand why they especially when people are setting off the crazy stuff anyway. I understand.
They do it anyways. I mean, it's not like if I don't think it would matter if they brought in the better fireworks because they bring in the better fireworks anyways.
I know some people love their 4th of July. Ride My Chocobo Man in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I love blowing shit up. let's see. Bobby Blackwolf, our pal who's live before us at Vogue Network on Sunday night, says, I stayed home on July 4th and binge-watched Doctor Who. I figured that was the best way to celebrate Brexit 1776. Yes, I know a lot of people were into the Doctor Who because the finale of this most recent season just happened, right? So I'm a little behind on a lot of my television stuff. If it's not on Netflix, I'm not watching it right now. So I'm a little behind on some of this stuff. I have to rely on the other Vogue Network shows to keep me on that stuff. Anyway, we are, of course, here to talk about video games, gaming culture, the gamer lifestyle with you guys in our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com because we do tape live Sunday nights at 6 Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show So if you are listening to us live, head on into our chat room. But if you're listening to us on the podcast feed, hey, that's great too. You can always send us an email, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, or you can always tweet at us at OLR. You know, you can probably send a carrier pigeon and it will probably find its way to us one way or another. We invite you to participate in many different ways, including the brand new Discord, which a lot of you guys have been showing up to, which has been awesome. So if you haven't checked out the new VOG Network Discord, be sure to head over to VOGNetwork.com, and under the Participate banner is Discord. And I believe that's just VOGNetwork.com/Discord. So you could just – and that'll get you the invite you need to get in there. And, yeah, we've been using that, and it's – I already have people talking to me when they see me playing Final Fantasy 14, asking if I want to party up and stuff like that. So that's kind of fun. So, yeah, check that out, our new Discord. Meanwhile, I want to get into some game chat for the night, including our kickoff topic tonight. You know, it was a little bit slower of a news week with the 4th of July, a holiday happening in the middle of the week. You had a lot of people that made it a long weekend last weekend or kind of took a couple extra days off. So it kind of slowed the news cycle this week. But next week is going to be a pretty big release, I think, for game releases, even though it is the re-release of a game that came out, what, in 2006, I think? So it's well over about 11 years old at this point. Final Fantasy XII, although this time they are releasing the Zodiac Age version of the game, which is similar to what they did when they did the Final Fantasy X remaster and the X-2 remaster. They did a... like the international versions of those games were what we got as the release on PlayStation 4. So they're doing something similar with Final Fantasy 12, which is great because I remember when the Final Fantasy 10 stuff came out, I think one of the things we all said was, wouldn't it be great if they did this for 12 as well? Because a lot of people kind of missed that game because that came out right as the Xbox 360 was taken off and the PS3 was about to come out. So, you know, Final Fantasy 12, I think a lot of people kind of overlooked. So it's great that that's coming out and people get to re-experience that again. So I want to actually talk a little bit here at the top of the show about remasters. And, you know, I know Final Fantasy 12 is the one that's, you know, coming out this week that we all have to look forward to. But, you know, certainly we've talked a lot on previous episodes about the Switch and the remasters from the Wii U that we're seeing coming out on Switch, especially like Mario Kart 8, which has done very, very well for them. We saw this week there were teasers. We don't know what to make of it, but, you know, it's kind of like people are looking into these tweets and going, oh, well, they said 2 and 1, and 2 plus 1 is 3, so Half-Life 3 confirmed. But there was a tweet from was it Kamaya that tweeted out, or was it Platinum Games account?
Who tweeted? I think it was a Platinum Games account.
I think it was Platinum Games account. Tweeted a picture of the Wonderful 101, and if you look over somebody's shoulder, they're playing it on the Switch. And then there was like a Bayonetta graphic that had the Bayonetta from her look in Bayonetta 1 and Bayonetta from her look in 2, and it was like red and blue, and they were kind of like on top of each other, sort of like it could be a Switch, like they were switched. Get it? Okay, Half-Life 3 confirmed a little bit here. But it has people talking all about those games potentially getting Switch remasters. So I'm curious what you all think about. You can talk about these remasters if you want, but remasters in general. And I open this up to our chatters as well.
I don't consider those remasters. I consider them porting them to another system because they're not doing anything to them. They're just re-releasing them on another system.
Second chances.
It's not even... Yeah, I mean, it's like, that's not a remaster. A remaster would be something like, okay, this game came out on another system. Like the Halo collection or something like that, where they completely redo all the graphics and the meshes and everything like that.
Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah,
Crash Bandicoot. Which is apparently doing really well, especially in the UK, which doesn't – I mean, that franchise was always, I think, particularly larger over there on that side of the pond than it was – I mean, it was still kind of big over here, but it was really big in the UK, if I remember right. So it's doing phenomenal over there from what I understand. So even to the point where – and I hope I'm not spoiling a story. I don't think it was one I show-rolled, but it was one that I was looking at that they've even kind of commented that, like, they're looking at maybe doing something with Crash Bandicoot in the future because this remaster is doing so well. But it is truly a remaster, and I realize we're kind of splitting hairs a little bit because you're right. If you look at, let's say Bayonetta gets released on the Switch, is that really a remaster or is that a port? It's a second chance is, yeah, what, like it, is what those games are, a second chance.
You know, it's a port running at like 1080p or something like that. When
I exactly mean, see, I got, yeah, yeah. The PC one, it's like I bought Bayonetta on PC. I didn't. It's not really a remaster, but it runs better than it does on the, you know, the original PlayStation 3 and so forth. So, okay, it's not a remaster, but it's still a modernized version, if you will. And I would assume that even if they do end up doing the Bayonetta 1 and 2 thing on the Switch, they'll probably throw something extra in there to sweeten the pot, just because there are going to be...
Amiibo support's always fucking...
Oh, yeah. Support. Oh, yeah. Good call. Amiibo support.
She'll wear a hat. It'll be like a Mario hat or suspenders.
That's a great idea. No, no. That's a great idea. She could wear a little...
It's a terrible fucking idea.
No, she'll wear a peach crown. She'll wear a peach crown. Or she'll have the little Rosalina Luna following her, or...
It'll be something stupid like that, and everyone's like, holy shit, it's got Amiibo support, gotta buy it now, like fucking Skyrim on the Switch, because it has support for Amiibos.
All right, let's get to some comments in chat, and then you guys can follow up to this. JD in chat says, I am fully on board with remasters. There's always going to be someone who didn't get that game the first time, especially for Wii U stuff. And Dungeon Buster immediately follows that up with, I would be interested in a Bayo 2 remaster on the Switch, if only because I didn't get to play it before. And I think that's why a lot of these games are getting their second chance life on the Switch. For what it is. Bobby Blackwolf says, I don't have as much of a problem with Switch selling remasters of a Wii U game, but I think the PS4 selling PS3 remasters from late in the PS3's life cycle is kind of silly. I am and I'm not with you. Like, I kind of like the Journey thing. I liked when they re-released Journey, but I understand how, you know, not every game necessarily needs to see a second version. But it is interesting, because since the PlayStation 4 isn't fully backwards compatible with PlayStation 3, I'm not going to count the PlayStation Now stuff because that's a subscription thing. Some of these big games that maybe people who didn't buy a PS3 may be tempted with on a PS4. But I do have to admit, to Bobby's credit on that comment, I do have to admit, when I saw that Shadow of the Colossus trailer at E3 this year, I was kind of like, okay, cool. I mean, I know a lot of people really like that game, but this Shadow of the Colossus is a game that's getting a second remaster. And I was like, That's interesting. But then again,
well, this is more of a remake at this point.
Well, but look at Final Fantasy IV. Final Fantasy IV was on the Super Nintendo. There was a great, great version on the PSP. I bet many people never played because it was on the PSP, and I don't think they ever put it on anything else. You might have been able to download it on the Vita. I think you could. I think that you download it on the Vita. It's like, you know, because back when Sony did backwards compatibility, you could play the PSP thing on the Vita.
Yeah, you still can do that now.
That whole thing. I'm shading the PS4. But then they did that remaster. But then there was also the 3D version that they did with the 3DS, which ended up being the version that they've also released on Steam
and iOS
and I think mobile Android devices. Yeah, yeah. So. To be fair, Final Fantasy IV has also been remastered twice, and I've bought them all.
Have they remastered 6?
So I guess I can't shade Shadow of the Colossus too bad.
Did they remaster 6? I know they did 4.
Okay, they did do a remaster of 6, but it was the mobile version, and I think they outsourced the graphics or something. Like, it just seems kind of... It doesn't seem like it's gotten the same TLC that the DS remasters got. Like, it just seems like, let's update the sprites and throw it out there. And it feels a little cheap to me. And Final Fantasy VI is not a game that deserves to be treated cheaply. But that was my opinion on those. So
I would love to see a remaster done like the Final Fantasy VII remaster, but for VI.
For real, right?
It would be...
Except,
awesome.
When is this Final Fantasy VII remaster going to come out?
Oh, never. PlayStation 5 at this point.
Okay, but Final Fantasy... Okay. Now we're really getting into semantics now. Final Fantasy VII really isn't a remaster. It's a remake.
Right.
And I'm only nitpicking on that one because it is very obvious. This is a complete... The Final Fantasy VII remake is a completely new game, but based off, like, the shooting script of the... It's like doing a movie based off the shooting script of the original movie. You know what I mean? It's like they did Little Orphan Annie in the 80s, right? And then they did that new Little Orphan Annie with Jamie Foxx and Cameron Diaz, right?
Yeah.
They do this in Hollywood all the time, right? They take the old movie, then they modernize it. And most of the time, it's not good. But sometimes, it's pretty good. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, what were some Hollywood ones that were all right? that they modernized and they came out okay. I'm drawing a blank right now because I don't talk about movies as much as I talk about games.
Some people don't like this. War of the Worlds I thought was pretty good, but that's more of a redo based off, I think, the book. That wasn't necessarily...
Okay, but actually that's an excellent example because War of the Worlds, being that it was a huge radio thing, right?
Right.
Then technology got newer, so they did a movie, right, based off it. And that, in a way, in a weird way, it's kind of like the technology for 7 was a lot older in the PS1 days, and now they're using the technology for the PlayStation 4 version.
Yeah, because 7, man, now if you try playing, it did not age well.
Let's see. VidPower in chat says, I guess the definition of remaster is kind of blurry nowadays. Yeah, it is. It really is. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, well, wouldn't any movie based on a Shakespeare play be a remaster and a modernizing? I guess in a way. But they carry their own controversies now, don't they? Remember when Baz Luhrmann did Romeo and Juliet?
I love that. It was fantastic.
I love that movie, too. I think it's something about how old you were when that movie came out. Like, if you were a teen around the time that movie came out, like, you loved it. And then, like... other people hated it. Because I know people that just straight up hate that Romeo and Juliet reinterpretation. But I loved it. But, I mean, in a way, yeah, Bobby. I mean, I don't know if you're being sarcastic or not, but I kind of think, you know, when they redo those Shakespeare plays as movies, sometimes they do it traditionally. Like, I think there was a Hamlet one a few years ago. And sometimes they do it very non-traditionally. And, you know, that you got that. So, let's see. Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. JD says, I'm a lot less tolerant of movie remakes than for video games for some reason. E3VL in chat says, Jumanji is going to be horrible.
Oh, God.
Do you know I literally forgot that was happening. I forgot that was happening.
I tried to. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, thanks for reminding us, E3VL. Now go sit in the corner and think about what you've done. I'm just
like,
kidding.
Jumanji was pretty good, but like, and I get it that they're modernizing it, and then there's all this stupid fan wink that they're saying, well, the game's just adapted itself to be more appealing. Fucking no, it's not. It's just trying to be... Jumanji, like, was the first movie was based off of the book a little bit closer because it was basically this game comes alive and starts bringing all this, like, dangerous jungle shit into the real world, and they have to deal with it. That was pretty, I mean, granted, the kids' book kind of glosses over most of that stuff, but right. That's basically it.
I remember the book was the thing that the teacher would read to the whole class. Did y'all do this in school where the teacher would sit in front of the class and read the book? And yeah. Da, 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 and then this happened, turn the page, da, 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 and like, yeah, I remember Jumanji was like that book.
Yeah, and the Jumanji, you know, the first movie was pretty good with Robin Williams, and, you know, that kind of, like, amped up how dangerous everything was. This one is some fucking bullshit. It's an Atari 2600 or 8-bit retro game that's called Jumanji, and the kids get sucked into the game, and they play their characters in the game. And it's so hilarious because the hot chick becomes this nerdy guy and, like, all this funny stuff because they're breaking their molds and they're going to learn something about themselves. And fuck this movie in its fucking ass because it looks terrible. And
slow
why
your
the
roll.
Fuck
slow
did-
your roll.
Why the fuck did The Rock sign on this? This is about as bad as when Brendan Fraser
money.
Signed on for the fucking Journey to the Center of the
money,
Earth.
Money. It's all about money. All right, let me ask you this. Calm down for a minute. Go to a happy place. I know this isn't totally games, but humor me for a minute here. It's a slow news week. Loki, let's say you are the next big Hollywood producer. What movie would you remake and what would you do to it?
Would I remake?
Yeah.
I'd do a live-action Macross franchise.
Oh, but you saw what happened with Ghost in the Shell.
I wouldn't be fucking stupid like that, okay? I'd have some fucking respect for the goddamn material. Hire actors that are the nationality of the characters, okay? We don't need a fucking Scarlett Johansson in the movie. Just fucking make it good. Why is that so hard?
Make it good. Darkstalker, I gotta poke you with the same question. And then I'm gonna ask about games, Loki, so be thinking of that. Darkstalker, what would you remaster if you could go to Hollywood and any movie you could remake, what would you do?
I wouldn't. I'd do a new fucking franchise.
You refuse. There's no movie worthy of modernization.
I'd make an actual Mass Effect movie. That's what would happen.
Supposedly, they were working on one.
Well, they're wrong.
I hope this shit with Andromeda does not push that movie off track. I really don't.
I don't know. I would actually do like an HD remaster of the first Dragon Age.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you what I'd go back and remaster.
Uh-huh.
And not remaster. I'd make a fucking other sequel. It's a new Tron movie. Because fucking hell, we need a new Tron movie.
There you go. There you
fucking
go.
Fucking remastered shit. Well, what are they talking about? Like remastering it with Jared Leto? Fuck that. That's such a terrible, stupid idea. Hey, let's take this great franchise and fucking shove it into the ground, okay? That's going to be fantastic.
Okay, so what about... Okay, now what about games? What game do you think needs to be... And I post this to the chat as well, you guys, over at live.vognetwork.com. What game... And you can go as far back as you want. What game needs to be remastered, modernized... For PlayStation 4, Switch, whatever, wherever you want to put it, Xbox One, PC.
Well, I mean, this the easy option, and I hope it's actually something that's going to happen because I know they did a poll for it. Would be R4. I would like to see. I want a new Ridge Racer. I know that the last game that they did was like a fun fucking money grab shit, and that didn't sell well for them. So good, it shouldn't because it was crap. But like, make. R4 was probably the best Ridge Racer game that they put out. Remaster that. Make it look good. You can add tracks from the other games. I don't give a shit. It just, you know, make another good Ridge Racer game.
I'm going to tell you what game I'm thinking of when I'm asking this question, and I think they're doing a phenomenal job with it, is Blaster Master Zero. And you know I love that original Blaster Master game, and I like the new one a lot, but what I'm really liking about it is the continued value of the game. And we'll talk – I know we have a story coming up on it later, but the DLC in that game is pretty outstanding.
We can get a Fester's Quest Zero. How about that?
I think Fester's Quest was kind of underrated, personally, because it was just the overhead shots from Blaster Master as a game. But, yeah, hell yeah. Why not Fester's Quest re-updated?
Have, like, Fester in there as a special character.
Why not? Oh, my God, get Fester in the DLC for Blaster Master. Like, surely there's no licensing issues there. Dark Sakura, what about you?
I'd already said Dragon Age.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You said Dragon Age right at the tail end.
But what about, like... Oh, like Zombies Ate My Neighbors or...
Yeah, I've always thought about that.
That's a good pick.
It would
That's
be fantastic.
I am surprised you did not immediately say what I would be saying.
The Guardian Legend.
Yes, thank you very much. TGL. Thank you.
They've already redone Fantasy Zone with the Sega Ages collections.
Oh, true.
It had like the Sega 2800 or whatever it was. The cheaper packages that were the 3D remakes. So both that and Space Harrier have already been done, so the Guardian Legend would have to happen. And not just Gardic, we want Gardic Gaiden.
All right, let me go to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Some great answers in chat. Bobby Blackwolf suggests Katamari Damacy. That game's due for another chance.
They did a remaster of that not too long ago. That was the one they did for like Xbox. I mean, the later games. So the later games, they just kind of said, "We don't know how to make any new levels. We're just going to bring those levels back."
It was the PlayStation 3 version. Was like a best of. Oh no, it was the Vita. Vita was the last proper release for that game, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's enough time has passed. Yeah, clicker games don't fucking count. Let's see.
Especially now with like all the processors being able to handle all these different objects and everything, I would think it'd be pretty awesome to see a Katamari game.
JD says Mother 3.
Well, you have to release it first.
Yeah, you have to release it first. Tiger.
Oh, that was something that they were going off on the entire time of several of the runs at... Summer Games Done Quick.
Yeah.
As they should. I mean...
For serious.
They know that they want it released. Why aren't they doing it? Because they're being assholes.
SSG100 Matt says, OLR is due to get in trouble over a Katamari game again. Oh, shut up. Let's see. Tiger Claw says, I know one game that needs a remaster or remake, and this one is very dear to you. Super Metroid. Why? Because Nintendo is remaking Metroid 2, so why not? Let me tell you why I don't want them to remake Super Metroid.
It was good the way it was.
Because you can't improve perfection. You can't improve perfection. All that laugh aside, because I know that'll get a reaction out of Bobby. All that talk aside, I would say, honestly, I would just encourage them to do a new 2D adventure. They don't have to be remakes.
I would go for a Metroid Maker.
That would be kind of awesome, actually. I like this answer from Dungeon Buster. Phantasy Star, the first one, as a Western release. You know, a lot of the look and feel of Phantasy Star really changed with Phantasy Star Online and stuff. It would be very interesting to see the story of the original Phantasy Star kind of in that environment. But I would also just happily take, you know, PSO2 being released. By Black Wolf says Remaster Maniac Mansion. I thought they did recently, didn't they?
They did.
They did Revision of the Tentacle, Day of the Tentacle.
I thought they did Maniac Mansion too, but maybe I'm thinking, maybe not.
Yeah,
I know they did the remasters of like all the.
Yeah, no, they don't. I think they only did Day of the Tentacle. They never got around to doing Maniac Mansion.
They did all of the. What's their prior game? I played a ton of them. Why can't I think of this? It's bothering me. I can see. I don't think about it. But yeah, they did. They've done a lot of remasters in the past for their games. I mean, I don't see why not.
Let's see. Trying to look at a couple other comments from chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see.
Monkey Island. That's what I was thinking. Monkey Island. There we go.
Tiger Claw says you can improve perfection with better graphics, better gameplay. But that's the gameplay's perfect, though. And sometime, I'm sure we'd love to see in a marathon someday. I suppose you could give it the treatment that StarCraft is getting with, you know, they're not really changing the game. They're only changing the graphics and the way the internet part of it works.
Have the team that does all the fucking cel-shaded shit for the Rayman series remaster that game and leave everything else the same. Just remaster the graphics.
All right, that I guess I could go with that for sure. That could work.
Bump up the lighting and make it all cool looking.
Turn up the graphics on level 3. Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll see what the game industry has in store for remasters and remakes in the future. But for now, we're going to move on with our show. We're going to talk a little bit about our gaming week. So I'll go to Dark Soccer in just a moment here. But first, some quick plugs. Again, I do want to just mention, of course, our Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. And we're also on Twitter as well, twitter.com/OLR. I already plugged the Discord, although I was going to do it here. So I'll plug it again, the new Discord over at vognetwork.com/Discord. We should be here every show for the next few weeks. I will mention this. There will be no show over Labor Day weekend because, as usual, has been the case for the past few years. I will be at Dragon Con in Atlanta that weekend along with Bobby Blackwolf and hopefully some other folks from Vogue as well. Very fortunate this year to be recognized as a professional at Dragon Con. Very thankful to the podcasting track and buddies over there who really encouraged me to go for that designation. And yeah, it worked out this year. So I'm really, really looking forward to participating even more with Dragon Con as a show this year. So it's going to be a fun, fun year at Dragon Con. Really looking forward to it. But we won't be here Labor Day weekend as a result. Most of you are traveling anyway, but we hope if it's reasonable for you, you'll be traveling over to Dragon Con. Anyway, let's get into our gaming weeks and the types of video games we've been playing this week. Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
I have been playing Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2. I have... I actually didn't play any WoW this week, I don't think. I've been playing my cell phone games and Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2. That's it.
Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball.
I'm kind of rediscovering the love. It's been pretty fun.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
And I think I've watched now every episode of Dragon Ball Z again, just fast-forwarding past the fillers, like in the last week. Mm-hmm. So.
And I have to say this up front because I did poll everybody in the room before we did the show tonight, but none of us did get around to watching that Castlevania anime.
No.
So we can't really talk about it tonight. But do you plan to at some point, Dark Soccer,
watch
it? Yeah,
probably this week.
Yeah. I want to I'm okay with it only being 4 episodes because that makes it a lot easier to kind of consume, if you know what I mean. I can kind of treat it a little more like a movie. But I'm hearing really good things about it.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. All right, Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole ton this week. I did end up playing a little bit of PlayStation VR yesterday because we had some friends over and I was showing them that. And then I decided to get into the game. So I did play a little bit of Until Dawn Rush of Blood, which I still love that game. It'd be fun to speed run that, but I don't think you can because it's on rails and, you know, there's minimal things you can speed up in that. Mainly just played, you know, mobile games, so still playing the Office Space one. I played very little of Pokemon Go. I know they have different things going on, but I don't know. It's not enough to really kind of get me playing the game a lot. Although I keep running into inventory problems now. I've accumulated so many Pokeballs that I'm like, geez, I got to start catching things because I have like 175 Pokeballs. I got to start throwing them away. just to be able to keep getting my daily spins on stuff. So, I don't know. So that's pretty much it. I've been trying to work on the game jam stuff. I've been falling asleep while working on the game jam stuff. So not much has been getting accomplished there. But I'm trying. No promises. That's it.
Okay. I have to admit, I haven't really been playing a lot this week. On a personal note, my mom went back in the hospital on the 4th of July. That's the thing that happened that kind of ruined the holiday. And she's been asleep since then after having a couple surgeries. The doctors say she's going to be, you know, fine and, you know, she's on a path to getting better. But it's just, you know, obviously it takes an emotional toll. I'm sure y'all can understand. So anyway, not to be too much of a downer, but that's the reality why I haven't been streaming a lot this week and why I haven't been playing a lot this week. So, you know, real life happens sometimes. But I have, when I have been playing games, I've been playing a bit of Pokemon Go with Alan, just because, you know, Alan's kind of into it. I'm into it. The new rating thing is actually really rad. Like, I'm liking it more and more because we actually do it. Like, it's not impossible for Alan and I to go take out a gym together, and you know, we'll go, our little strategy that we do now, we go out at like 11 o'clock, 11:30, and take gyms, so that way they stay up overnight and we get our 50 coins. We don't take a lot, we'll take like two or three to make sure one of them stays up overnight and we get our 50 coins, and that's kind of like what we do now. So that's like a fun thing to do, and you know, still catching, you know, what we can and all that stuff. But I would say if I have been gaming, it's been like all Final Fantasy 14 and the Stormblood expansion, which I'm still making my way through. And apparently I only have like two or three quests left before I'm done with the expansion. And the story is definitely, you know, been ramping up, and it's like everything is leading up to the big final conflict in Final Fantasy style. So excited to finally finish that. And I got to say, I think I preferred the Heavensward story better, but Stormblood is great. Don't get me wrong. Stormblood is great. But I think there's some great characters in Stormblood that are really, really like, you just, you're really interested in a lot of these characters. Like the bad people are like really, really bad and well done bad. And the good people are also really, really well done. So I think you can almost get into the characters in a way that I only felt a big connection with just a couple in Heavensward, even though I felt the story was better in Heavensward. So, yeah, been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14, but other than that, that's pretty much my gaming. But I am looking forward to Final Fantasy 12 next week. I will definitely be picking that up on Tuesday.
Now, I saw just briefly something, I don't think it's on our show roll. It was, someone was complaining about how there's a housing shortage in Final Fantasy 14.
Oh, yeah. So on one of the servers, some guys bought up like all the houses in one of the wards. So there's like a limited number of player housing that you can have on the servers in Final Fantasy 14. I guess it boils down to storage space. So on one of the servers, which isn't even the one I play on, it's one of the lesser populated servers, somebody bought all the housing on there. And I don't remember what the point was they were trying to make, but there was some point they were trying to make with it. And it's just, it's interesting because the space for housing is limited in that game. And I've already seen it cause things where people buy plots and then flip them, try to sell them for twice as much. Like scalping, basically virtual scalping of these limited plots. And I understand there's like storage and server issues, but I really wish the team would find a way to really like dramatically increase the size of the housing. Though to their credit, I mean, they have expanded it several times. Like they are trying to address it and expanding it in different ways.
Why can't
they,
they just let them only own one house?
Well, because what they're doing is they're rolling new characters, sending the money to the other characters and then buying them on the other characters. So even if they are limited to just one, they're
should just not allow you to send money.
It should be one per account. You should be limited. I know it. There should be other stuff in place, but well, the interesting thing about that is that'll probably get back to the development team on Final Fantasy 14 with all the press coverage that's been getting, and they're probably gonna they'll do something to address it. But they have, so right now in the game, there's three housing areas, and they're about to open a fourth because of this expansion. There's now a new housing area for Kugane, which is the new big city. that is going to have a whole ton of new plots to go with it. So I assume that will help address the issue. And they also, at one point, they did what's called apartments, which don't have a limit on them. You can have a personal apartment for, like, you know, for a set amount of money, and it doesn't, like, as many players as wants to can have those. So they're trying to address it in weird ways, but sometimes the way they design things in that game, and, you know, like, it kind of boxes them in. I feel like a ton of it dates back to 1.0, and I realize there was no player housing in 1.0, but it's something about those servers and all that stuff. I feel like they got boxed in somehow, and they still are trying to. I mean, the whole class and job system, they're still boxed in from 1.0, and they're every expansion so far, they've done something to kind of further separate themselves from that. They eliminated cross-classing in this recent expansion. They just eliminated the cross-classing. You no longer have to level Thaumaturge, which is just Black Mage. Thaumaturge and Archer in order to get Black Mage. You don't have to do that anymore. So they did something new instead called Roll Actions, where you have a pool of 10 actions and you can pick 5 of them for your class. And it's very similar to the cross-classing, but you don't, like, actually have to level anything besides the class you want to play. So it's kind of interesting in that way. So, let's see. VidPower in chat says, what does housing do for players in Final Fantasy XIV? Not a lot. Most of it is visual. However, there's the airship stuff that you can send out on the exploratory voyages. And I think you can only do that with a house. You might be able to do it with apartments, though. I don't remember. See, my free company has a house, so I don't have to worry about any of this stuff. I think it would make sense you could probably do it from apartments, too, because it would seem weird that they would lock people out of that completely. But, yeah. So, that's been my game of week. Lots of Final Fantasy XIV, although Stormblood's been great and it's been many hours, you know. Now that all the launch issues are fixed, Stormblood's great, so.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase Earthquake.
Okay, let's get into some gaming news, shall we? Lots of other stuff going on around the gaming community this week. We'll start off with Loki.
Yeah, so this is kind of neat. I guess I understand why they may have held off on it, but now they're allowing you on the Xbox Live Game Store, you can actually purchase, or you're going to be able to make purchases soon, and actually gift those digital purchases to friends. So right now, I know, like, one that pretty much, like, Steam does it. I don't think PlayStation Network or even Nintendo's or even Microsoft's currently allows it, but it is going to be something that's going to be added pretty soon here, which is good. I'm glad that they, you know, are going to have you know, more options available if you want to, like, gift someone something for their birthday or whatever. The other thing that they're talking about adding that's not really confirmed yet is deleting achievement-less games. But they haven't really added that. It was on the 360, but they never added it to the Xbox One. So that's kind of nice. I wish I could do that with my library on the PlayStation Network, where I could delete games I don't want on there. Like, I have demos for shit. Like a demo for Black Ops or something like that.
I thought,
like,
the trophy list stuff was on play. Oh, you mean you want it out of your library?
Out of my library. I don't want it to display more. Like, I don't need to have a demo for Lego Batman 3 anymore.
Or the Destiny Alpha.
Or, yeah, things or something like that. Yeah. I don't need that in there. Or, like, was it, you know, a bunch of that stuff. Just, I wish I could just say, you know, please leave my library or something like that. Or don't display it anymore.
Or move to bottom or something.
Yeah, remove from. Yeah,
active list. Something. Yeah.
Or separated to, this is a demo thing that only appears in demos or something like that. Mm-hmm. I wish I could do that.
But. Yeah. Well, the gifting thing, it's one of those things where it's kind of weird that it's not already
it's
there.
It's probably a good thing, though, because remember with all the problems that they had with the whole digital, like, people stealing accounts and stuff like that, and, you know, maybe it's a good thing that that's not a
thing
right now.
Didn't exist then, yeah.
But even still, people were still buying, you know, really expensive, like, loot packs, which I think that's maybe even worse because they can buy multiples of those. But
yeah.
I don't know. It is something, though, that I think is, like, a feature that they should have.
I mean, I think we've all gifted each other stuff on Steam before.
Oh, yeah.
You just bought me genital jousting for my birthday. Nothing says happy birthday like genital jousting, that's for sure. Yeah, so I mean, you know, it would just make sense that, you know, you could have like a wish list on Microsoft Xbox. Well, also, I mean, since it is becoming one ecosystem with the PC, I mean, in a way, you could gift like Forza Horizon 3 and that would be on your Xbox and PC, right?
Yeah, that would be cool.
For those, I mean, I think it's still limited what games do that, but, you know, that's still like a cool option that you can gift it to somebody and they get it on both. So I'm kind of surprised now a feature like that doesn't exist on PlayStation or Switch even.
Well,
so.
PlayStation I'm not too surprised with because there's a lot of features that people want that they're just not going to put out because the system's just not capable of doing that. You know, like emulating a PSP or PlayStation 1. Those advanced PlayStation 1 graphics, you know. The PSP could do the PlayStation 1, but you see, the PlayStation 4 just can't do the PlayStation 1. So therefore, the PSP is definitely the more overpowered system.
Right.
Just bet you didn't know that, you know.
There's so much power in that thing you never realized.
Exactly.
It would be great if they would just release a little UMD reader that you could hook up to via USB to the PlayStation 4, but I just somehow don't think that's going to happen. It's just not on their list.
We don't need to go with UMDs. That was kind of dumb, but
I still see UMDs for sale at like Fry's and stuff. And I think I was at Dimple the other day.
That was going to be the next big thing. Remember, they were going to have all these movies and stuff that you could play on your PSP and it was a neat idea.
And then they came up with Blu-ray. So
And then they released the Vita, and then they're like, what's a Vita? And then that was that.
All right. Moving on. Let's talk about Overwatch a little bit. I did play a little Overwatch on the public test realm, and it was because of this. Doomfist finally making his way into Overwatch. They've been teasing Doomfist ever since the very original trailer for the game, because the two kids, if you remember the very first, like, it looked like a fucking Pixar short, the trailer for the game, the two kids are looking at Doomfist's little fist of doom or whatever it was, his actual Doomfist. They were actually looking at that. So now Doomfist is a character that's in the game, so that's really awesome. And he has some moves where, and I actually tried playing with him a little bit, so he can kind of shoot rockets out of his glove, but it's not super effective. What he's really effective at doing is like charging at people. It's kind of what he does, and he can kind of do like a Shoryuken type of move where he like uppercuts him into the air. So it is really satisfactory to like rush somebody on the back line like Anna or something, and then
so uppercut he's just falcon punching everybody.
Yeah, actually, yeah. So I mean, Doomfist is, he also can actually like punch. Actually, the Captain Falcon comparison is not completely like wrong, and there's something really rewarding about all of that. So like, I would play, like, I don't think Doomfist will be a main for me in Overwatch, but I won't be like, I like when I get Tracer or Reaper in random heroes, I sigh, because I'm terrible with those two characters, especially Tracer. Like, I love Tracer as a character, but trying to play her, I can't do it. I'm terrible with her. So, but Doomfist, I would be happy to get. Like, Doomfist was a lot of fun to play. But of course, on the test realm right now, everybody's fucking playing Doomfist. Everybody's playing Doomfist. But, I mean, that's to be expected. Of course, that's what's to be expected. Now, Here's the other thing about Doomfist that I suppose is a little bit controversial, but I think it's very silly. So Terry Crews is not going to be voicing Doomfist. And you know, there was like a, I think Terry Crews had tweeted something about that he wanted to be Doomfist. So a lot of like the Blizzard fan community started like going crazy, like, yeah, Terry Crews should do it. Terry Crews is awesome. He's a gamer like us. Da, da, da. Well, they didn't go with Terry Crews. They went with an actor, and I'm so sorry if I mispronounce this. I think it's Seher and Gauja. I think it's how you pronounce that. Sorry if I mispronounced that. But that is the voice actor that he went with, that they went with. But when I see tweets about the voice actor they did go with, I'm seeing all these responses that are like, Blizzard sucks. They should have went with Terry Crews. Like, it should have been Terry Crews. And I can't help but think, like, that's really fucking disrespectful to the voice actor that did get it. A, Doomfist's voice is fine. Like, he sounds fine in the game. In fact, he's better than fine. He's good. He's a good voice actor and a good character. And, you know, I think Terry Crews is fucking awesome, too. Don't get me wrong. But he is a little...
He doesn't need to voice everything.
He doesn't need to voice everything. And he does have a certain, like... I would say like it's kind of like a over like loud over the top. And maybe this is Crackdown 3 influencing that a little bit. And that's the point I'm about to get to is that
I think it's Old Spice.
He's still going to get a nice fucking paycheck from Crackdown 3. Terry Crews like is Crackdown 3 right now after E3. And that's a great like marriage. And you know what? Microsoft probably saw a lot of those tweets about Terry Crews doing Doomfist and they probably called him. So the community did make something. I would bet the community did make that happen for Terry Crews in a way. I mean, his talents did that too. But my point is that, like, don't disrespect this other voice actor because maybe they were looking for somebody that just could deliver a different voice that wasn't – because Doomfist, I mean, he's not subdued, but he's not like, oh, yeah, like, over the top, like, woo! You know, he's not like that at all. Like, so I think maybe this voice actor they went with is just – giving the performance that they wanted. So I just think it's really shitty when I see those tweets, like with this other voice actor mentioned and tagged in them going, should have been Terry Crews.
You know what? Over it.
The business is sucks sometimes, but at the same time, I will give props to Terry Crews and I'm not blaming him at all for this. I think Terry Crews is handling it like a professional because he wrote a very nice tweet and he said, Doomfist came out awesome. It was everything I'd hoped for. Like, I'm paraphrasing the tweet, but he wrote a very nice tweet that was like, hey, Doomfist rules, even though I'm not voicing it. So, you know, he didn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he wrote a very nice tweet, which is exactly what a professional does. And so that was cool. So I don't blame Terry Crews at all for any of this fuckery I see on Twitter when people start replying about, like, you know, fuck Blizzard. It should have been Terry Crews. Like, you know what? Sometimes the vision just lined up a different way. You know, give this other guy a chance. Give Doomfist a chance. He's an awful lot of fun to play. And yes, the voice work is great as well. So there you go. Let's see. Also, what is chat over at live.fognetwork.com. Oh, great question from Bobby Blackwolf. Is Terry Crews SAG-AFTRA? And could it be, and I'm inferring from that, could it be related to the whole strike thing?
I doubt it because he's doing voicing for Microsoft, so.
Yeah, and the actor they did pick is a screen actor who has on-screen roles. So this other actor they went with, it has to be a card member of SAG, has to be. So I don't think, well, and for all we know, I mean, the voice work actually could have been done a long time ago. Because again, we knew about Doomfist when they first announced the game. So it's entirely possible that the voice acting was done a long time ago before the strike happened. But that's a good thought there. So let's see. Oh, interesting. Over in chat, over at live.vognetwork.com, Tiger Claw says, I think it's more like Terry Crews wanted to be in the game more than them asking him if he wants to be in it. But I don't fault Terry Crews for that. I would love to be a voice actor in a video game. I think that would be fucking awesome. Like, wouldn't that be fun to, like, voice a character in a video game someday? I think sure. That would be great. But I also understand I'm not a professional, and they're probably going to hire professionals, and I'm okay with that. I got my podcast. It's cool. So, you know, if there's a little indie game someday that maybe I can do a voiceover in, cool. But, you know, I'm not a professional. We'll leave it to them. So, let's see. Crazy Chocobonator in chat says, to be honest, Doomfist doesn't sound like a video game character's name, more like an extreme version of fisting. Yes, there's been plenty of those jokes over on Twitter this week.
It sounds like an Invader Zim character.
Mm-hmm. SSG100 Matt with a good comparison here. Growing up, I always wanted Kurt Russell to be Wolverine in a live-action X-Men movie. After seeing Hugh Jackman do it, well, he did a far better job than Russell could have done. Oh, you know the classic example of that in Hollywood. Classic. Do you remember when they announced Heath Ledger is going to play the Joker?
Yes.
And you remember how everybody was like, what the fuck? And that wasn't the first time it happened with Batman either. You go further back.
Michael Keaton.
When they announced Michael Keaton was going to play Batman, everybody.
Wait, what, the comedian?
Yeah. The comedian? Beetlejuice is going to be bad. What the fuck? Like, the internet wasn't really around back then, but you better believe there was still, like, campaign, like, whatever Twitter was back then in the form of postcards and stuff, was that when Michael Keaton
who's
got the role
playing
of Batman.
Mr. Freeze?
It was AOL chat rooms and BBSs.
I don't even, BBSs, yes, but The original Batman was like 1989. I don't even think AOL was really, maybe Quantum Link.
Yeah, that would have been BBS's then.
Yeah, BBS's. So, yeah. So, I mean, if you want to kind of compare this to movies, you know, when they announced that Heath Ledger got the part of the Joker, I'm sure everybody was like, Jack Nicholson, five ever. Like, there's nobody's ever going to be better than Jack Nicholson and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, they were different interpretations of the role. Like, Jack Nicholson, nothing about Heath Ledger's amazing, mind-blowing fucking performance as Joker, nothing about that diminished the also amazing job that Jack Nicholson did. The only thing that tarnished the role of the Joker was Jared Leto. Sorry, cheap shot. I couldn't help myself. Sorry. Cheap shot.
To be honest, I don't even blame Jared Leto because I thought he looked kind of cool as the Joker. I think just the script sucked. Yeah. So, I mean... I'm not even going to blame Jared Leto for that. I'm just saying that script was just fucking terrible. Yeah. But
so anyway, we're getting a little off track. But my point is, I think after that point, after Christopher Nolan cast Heath Ledger as the Joker and everybody was like, what the fuck, buddy? And then everybody saw that movie. After that, it was kind of like, okay, Christopher Nolan can do whatever the fuck he wants. Like, clearly the man knows what he's... So when they announced Anne Hathaway as Catwoman, I have to admit there was a part of me that was like, I'm not sure that's what I would have done, but you know what? I would have said the same thing about Heath Ledger. So I'm gonna, and sure enough, Anne Hathaway was a for that version of the Catwoman, for what Nolan was doing in that movie, she was fine. She was better than fine. She was great. Michelle Pfeiffer will kind of always be Catwoman to me in that role. But even then, you go back to, like, Eartha Kitt and, like, the campy 60s stuff.
Julie Newmar,
Eartha Kitt, like, the classic 60s Batman actresses, like, they also owned it in their own way. It was just all different. So anyway.
I'm sure Halle Berry owned it in her own way.
Look, Halle Berry is a great example that even great actresses can make mistakes. So you know what? It's all right. All right. Anyway, we're getting off track. It is a video game show, but I'm bringing all that up as comparisons. That it's like, you know what? They cast somebody else's Doomfist, and he's doing great. So this Terry Crews stuff, even Terry Crews says he loves Doomfist. So the rest of you need to stop with the bullshit on Twitter and let the guys who are gals who are creating Overwatch create the game they want to make. Done. So Terry Crews, he's still going to be a part of the gaming community. He's just over there on Crackdown 3, which I bet most of you are going to be buying anyway. So I think everybody's winning in this scenario. I really do. So, all right. going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. JD calling me out on the Eartha Kitt thing, but I said that before I looked in chat. It was just very different, but here's the other thing to consider. I was like 13 or 14 years old when Batman Returns came out. And in a way, so, okay, I'm really tangent training tonight, but it's a slow news week, okay? So Bobby brought up his old comparison about Final Fantasy on his show earlier, right? And he said, you know, it seems to be that the favorite Final Fantasy game of people is the Final Fantasy game that came out when you were around 13 years old, right? That tends to be your favorite Final Fantasy game. And for me, that's true. It really is. Like Final Fantasy 2 and 3 on the Super Nintendo, which of course were 4 and 6, those are kind of like a tie for my favorite. So I get that. I would say your favorite Batman movie might be the same sort of thing. And Batman Returns was that movie that came out right when I was around 13 or 14. And I kind of think to this day that movie is grossly underrated in the Batman franchise. That movie is fucking amazing. And Michelle Pfeiffer just, you know, like to a little gay boy at 13 years old, like Michelle Pfeiffer was just everything and then some. So you know what? Darkstalker, you loved her too, right? Please tell me.
Yeah.
Yes. When she did all the flips and she's like, meow.
One thing that I thought was awesome, though, is that the first whip scene in the department store, she did in one take.
Yeah.
I was like, that made me want a whip.
Right?
I just wanted to take the heads off of men who opposed me. I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? I meant mannequins. Mannequins representing
And SS2100 Matt.
The patriarchy.
SS2100 Matt.
Which I will dismantle with my whip.
In chat says, I think Halle Berry is a good sport over it. I think she accepted her Razzie for Catwoman. Yeah, I hear she was a good sport about it. She knows it's a shit movie. And she just,
it's,
if you can't laugh at yourself, you what can
what,
you laugh
though,
at?
You know what, though? To be fair to Halle Berry, if Ryan Reynolds can be both the terrible Green Lantern and the fucking awesome Deadpool, you got a chance.
So. And the terrible Deadpool. But not his fault.
Yes,
he was also the terrible Deadpool.
He was also the terrible Deadpool.
That is true. He was a terrible Deadpool. That was Dev's.
That
was
but not
he
his
was
fault.
The
not
best part before they made yes. him the terrible Deadpool.
Yes, correct.
Yes, all I right. forgot about that.
Who knew it was going to turn into movie chat on OLR tonight? But you know what? Tangents, they happen. You know, it's inevitable. Games, movies, they go hand in hand. All right, Dark Sakura, you got some good news for us this week, right?
Well, we did bring up the Summer Games done quick a little bit earlier, and I watched bits and pieces of it here and there, certain runs. The whole thing was pretty amazing. They beat last year's goal by a significant amount, or not last year's goal, but last year's total. Last year, they pulled in $1,294,139. This year, $1,760,415.
Nice.
So by topping it by almost $500,000 is pretty amazing. That's some great incentives too.
Yeah,
like I'm sad that I missed the solo co-op Portal 2 run.
Yeah,
but at least you can go back and catch all of those.
Right.
Yeah, I missed most of that stuff live, but thankfully they're really quick to put that stuff up onto mm-hmm. YouTube. So yeah, especially you know like I tried watching. I was like, ooh, Final Fantasy VII run, 8 hours long. Nope, not watching this whole thing.
Some of the crowd interaction was, for me, not just, you know, the commentary couch, but the way the crowd interacted with it. Like, they were singing along with the Disney songs in Kingdom Hearts 2, and like, when the guy was doing Pungoland, which is just, like, a really, it was kind of based on Kaizo Mario, but not bad. Every time the guy would die, they'd hold up a sign and they'd go, 16, you know, for every number that he died. And I watched the Mega Man X6 and the X2 run, and it was just amazing watching how good people get with these games and watching some of the clipping tricks. And the thing that I like about it is that they have some of the people doing the commentary are also speedrunners of that game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm glad that I watched the Super Metroid run. Did you hear about the big upset?
You were texting me, and I think I saw that, like, two of them got knocked out right at the beginning, right?
Right with the first big boss.
That, wow, that's...
Both of them died.
You know what, though? Props to them for getting up on stage and doing it. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure, you know? And sometimes you're going to make mistakes. So I hope those guys aren't feeling too bad.
But at any rate, though, so they finally just focused on the last guy who had, I don't think, had ever done anything for the event before.
Hmm.
He's like a fairly new speedrunner, mm-hmm. and he finished Super Metroid like perfectly. And this is, I think, the first year that without any extra help from the sponsor or anything, that they got more for Kill the Animals. So,
you know, one of our old school listeners, I know he doesn't listen anymore, but he's a big part of that speed event. Kevin DDR does mm-hmm. the Tetris stuff. Like he's, and I hear he did very well in that block.
Oh yeah, we was watching. Yeah. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, I know we do have listeners from you know years ago that go on to bigger and better things that are even bigger than this show. No, but it's awesome. I love that. I love that when like I see people. It's like, oh, I knew that person when they were listening to OLR.
And that was like really stupidly fast too. I had to watch part of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But overall, the great thing about this is it's going to a really good cause. I'm not going to do it in French. It's the Doctors Without Borders.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to have more charities along those lines get attention because they provide the treatment no matter any. You know, walk that the person comes from who needs it.
Right.
And they even go into places where there is some pretty nasty stuff going on, like war zones and things like that, and provide necessary help.
They were a huge part of, like, when that Ebola crisis was going on not that long ago.
They were a huge part
of helping make sure that didn't get worse.
But the other thing, too, is that it's nice to see something that for us was, you know, kind of, you know, just hobby and leisure and fun. That, you know, has turned into something so wonderful. And the next one's going to be, of course, in January.
With Awesome Games Done Quick, the flagship, which is technically the flagship run, but, I mean, they're both kind
of... Some of those prizes that were pretty nuts.
Let me ask this. What do you think contributes to... I mean, because half a million more, that's a quite a bit more money. Do you think that's just maybe as simple as it's the logistics of where the 4th of July fell this year, that you had a lot more people with long weekends that could sit at home and watch it? Or do you think maybe this speedrunning stuff in this particular marathon is getting more and more visibility? I mean, we saw during Awesome Games Done Quick, one of the guys went on Colbert, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you think just in general this whole scene is getting more and more visibility in this particular marathon?
I think it's a combination of both of those factors, but I truly do believe that it's the visibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, and one thing that, you know, I think that the people who scoffed at, you know, gaming in the 80s, don't seem to realize is that we all grew up.
Well, yeah, I think that's what it is. Those of us that were playing games in the 80s, we're now the adults. So it's...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's time to change.
And gaming culture is even more prevalent. I mean, a lot of these systems are a lot easier to come by. If not, you know, the current gen, there's the older ones that you can get. And then classic gaming itself has become a lot more prevalent. You have people... You know, some of these people who were doing some of the speed runs on some of the classic games were probably born the year that game came out.
Yeah.
You know, and to see them enduring like this, I mean, it does my ancient heart good.
Well, I have to admit, and maybe I'm probably going to get a little shit for this comment, but I have to just be honest with y'all for a minute. Like, I'm getting to that point now where some of these conventions that I've gone to, I kind of start to look around and I kind of go, I'm the old guy here. Am I getting too old for these conventions?
Never.
I know, but I can't help it. There's certain conventions I've gone to where I kind of go, like, I could be everybody's dad. It's a weird feeling. But I always say the one convention I don't feel that with at all is Dragon Con, because I feel like Dragon Con kind of like, I think because it's been around so fucking long, a lot of people in Atlanta that were going when they were 15 are still going now that they're 40. So I think...
See, here's the problem. If you're sitting there, you know, questioning, am I the old guy there? That means you're not intoxicated enough to be So
and I'm not trying to turn it into a pissing match of who's the oldest here at VOG and OLR and all that stuff. I'm just saying, in general, I'm starting to feel like sometimes I'm the oldest person there, and I'm like, oh, this is a little weird.
I'm still gonna cosplay as long as I can.
Well, good for, and I think at the end of the day, don't get me wrong, I fucking get over it. I always do, you know, because, you know, age ain't nothing but a number, baby. But I'd be lying if I hadn't said sometimes I go to the cons and I go, am I the oldest one here? let's see. Yes, there it is. On time, the comments in chat, shut the fuck up about getting old. Tiger Claw in chat says, the majority of speedrunners are very young. I would love to see someone in their 40s or 50s do a speedrun at the event. Ha, ha, ha. Well, cheap plug, Tiger Claw, but Flacco Jones... here, who's been on OLR many times before and is part of the VOG Network family, really. Flacco Jones is the same age as I am. Like, we're only like a couple weeks apart with our birthdays. And he's been submitting that PT speed run. So I'm hoping he gets in just because it's a great speed run. And I think there's a great story behind PT anyway. And the fact that, you know, somebody who's my age should be in there doing the speed runs too. That'd be great. All right. I'll stop with the topics that are going to get me the shut the fuck up comments. Let's move on with some other stories. Loki.
All right. So this is, speaking of getting old, these complaints sound like something that an older individual would have with a game. But Ubisoft, much like, you know, other companies, will do something special with their games. They'll patch in like a cool holiday event. And so because of, you know, July 4th being Independence Day, they patched in some fireworks that appear during the nighttime in the game. So between June 29th and July 10th, there would be fireworks going off at night, which, you know, for most people, it's like, eh, no big deal. Except apparently a lot of people had problems with it. They thought it was completely obnoxious, fucking annoying, too frequent, too long, and too loud. Apparently the fireworks are too loud, and it was annoying them during night missions. So they would be like kind of sneaking around, and all of a sudden there's just a lot of booming going on in the background. So, of course, you know, they heard about it. You know, it's not possible to wrestle fix for this, so we made a tough choice just to remove them. It says, the heart says no, but the eardrums say yes. I kind of want to see a video to see how loud they were. Sadly, Watch Dogs 2 is one of those games I do need to go back and play because I did enjoy it, but just haven't played it in a long time. I would have been curious to see what the fireworks sounded like, though. That's kind of funny, though.
Is it one of those things where maybe it was being developed in a studio where they're using headphones or something, and on headphones it was okay, but then when it was like on the TV, it was like,
maybe,
oh my God.
Maybe, I don't know, but like someone was saying that it is scaring their dog. I mean, I get it, but like,
but how loud was your television?
It's like nitpicking, I think, it sounds like. Just turn down the sound effects.
Like, okay, but I haven't played, excuse me, sorry. I haven't played Watch Dogs 2, but I'm assuming there's like gunshots and like other loud things.
I would think
happen.
that would be louder, yes.
So that doesn't set off the dogs? I mean, I don't know. I didn't see this fireworks thing, so I don't know if people are being silly or not. But it just, it is a little weird to me that like if the gunshots and gunfights that happen in these games don't set off the animals. For one, if it is setting off the animals, you should probably turn your TV down or think about headphones, because there's some great wireless headsets for all the systems now that you can pick up. So, I mean, just saying. Just saying.
Yeah, so apparently, okay, so here's why it was like that, because they're saying that apparently it says a company rep noted that the people have spoken, we have carried out their will. There was an annoying bug that snuck into our Independence Day event that made the sound effects from the fireworks noticeable from everywhere on the map. They have been turned off as to avoid further noise complaints. It could be that, because I know, like, with developing some games and stuff, that instead of having a positional audio, it's basically just, like, almost like a sound effect, like a menu effect. And so, basically, you're hearing it the same volume no matter how close you are to those fireworks. So, maybe that was the situation. But, I mean, it seems like if that was the case, it'd be easy for them to fix. But, whatever. You people are just getting old.
If it's too loud, you're
Although,
too old.
Okay, so I am going to... I have to listen to hear what this sounds like real quick. So I'm just going to quickly just...
Can you...
Okay, those are pretty fucking loud, actually, now that I hear...
Can you copy-paste me the link real quick so we can play it over the air?
Huh?
Can you copy...
Yes, I can.
Can you copy-paste me the link so we can play it over the air
Yes,
real quick?
It is pretty loud, actually, now that I see that, so...
Yeah, I want to have some frame of reference here, because maybe...
So let's... Yeah.
Maybe I am being too harsh on the complainers. So, all right. So Loki said, this is what you get when it's live. Sometimes there's unscripted moments that happen, including links to YouTube videos. Okay, so I'm going to look at this YouTube from Nate152. I would think... It is kind of loud, but I would think it's one of those things that would be like, it's more annoying if that is going on the entire, because that's pretty frequent. If that's going on the entire time you're trying to play the game, that would be kind of annoying. Like, if it was one of those things where, like, that happens for, like, 30 seconds every 15 minutes or something, then I think it would be a lot more tolerable. Or, like, what is being mentioned there, that it's, you have to be in a certain area to hear it would be fine.
Yeah.
But I think it's not, I don't even know if it's so much the volume thing, because again, I think the gunshots would probably be just as loud in that game, but it's just the fact that it's constant and ongoing while you're trying to play this other game. Like that part would be kind of annoying. Yeah. So, all right. Let's see. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Yeah, Bobby Blackwolf says it is going on the entire time, even inside buildings and in the water. Yeah, that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, and there's like further on in the video, they're like the guy's driving with his radio on, and you can't hear anything over the fireworks. It's just loud.
All right, so maybe it is a little much. So fair enough. All right, thank you for finding the video there, so we could judge for ourselves. All right, let's move on to a story about emulation. A couple stories here about Nintendo emulation, including some people that have been peeking at the Nintendo Switch and some of the internal parts of it. Some of the modders who are working on the Switch right now, because, of course, hacker's going to hack, modder's going to mod, right? We all know this. Apparently, they have found there is an NES emulator embedded in the firmware, and it's codenamed Flog. I don't know why, but it is worth pointing out Flog is golf spelled backwards. So maybe this emulator is going to emulate NES Golf. I bet that's what it is, right? I don't know. Anyway. But that is the NES emulator. It's apparently hiding already within the Switch. So it's already embedded in the firmware. But, of course, you have to kind of trust modders that have been in the system looking at stuff. There's no way to otherwise, like, conclusively prove this. But it wouldn't surprise me that they're building that out, because we know that we will get Dr. Mario, Super Mario Brothers 3, that will all be a part of this online thing when Nintendo Online officially rolls out.
Which is
kind of, we're getting baby steps with everything that's happening with Splatoon 2, which I know we haven't talked a lot about tonight, but Splatoon 2 had a direct this week. Splatoon 2, that's all going to kick off with the first Splatfest next week, and there's this whole online app that goes with it, right? So, we know the NES games are coming, so it wouldn't surprise me that there's a NES emulator in there as well. SSGO 100 Matt in chat says, modders were working on a Switch emulator day one. Oh, of course they were. JD in chat says, maybe Nintendo will be a sponsor of Folsom Street events. Because it's flogging. Get it? I guess. That's funny. I like that. All right. Anyhow, speaking of emulation, of course, everybody fucking wants an SNES Mini. Like, everybody wants a fucking SNES Mini. And we all know Nintendo's not going to make enough. And I already went on my rant about scalpers last week, or the week before, maybe. So if you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it. But at least, thank God, some online retailers are trying to do some things about it. Amazon UK being one of them. Apparently, they actually went so far as to contact customers to notify them that if they pre-ordered more than one SNES Mini, it was going to be changed to a max of one console per customer. So anybody who ordered multiple consoles will now just receive one. Yay! This is a start. Yay. It's not perfect, because certainly there's going to be people that are like, oh, well, now I'm going to sign on to my spouse's account and my kid's account, so they'll get around it. But this is a good start and should hopefully deter some of those roomful of SNES minis and NES classics and all that stuff. I believe eBay is doing something as well to try to combat this a little bit. I think eBay's thing, though, they are doing a you can't actually put something on eBay that is more than 90 days out of its official release.
That they should. I don't think pre-orders should be on eBay at all, to be honest. Yeah.
So they're scaling it back a bit. Yeah, I'm with SSGO 100 Matt. Still waiting for Amazon to do U.S. pre-orders. Yeah, what about... I mean, I guess I'm okay if Amazon is taking the time to make sure the system doesn't...
What if they don't do pre-orders in the U.S.?
I don't see how Amazon doesn't do that. Oh, you mean just in general? Nintendo doesn't do any.
Because they're assholes. And
we'll see.
Poor decisions.
Amazon could also be focusing on all that Prime Day stuff. They probably don't want...
They've really been pushing that.
Yeah, they've really been pushing that.
It's only for their Prime users that you get the book that... SNES.
I'd be okay with that. It would be kind of messed up, but I'm a Prime user. I'd be totally okay with that, but I understand where that might not be the best business decision for Amazon. Well, what if Amazon did this? What if they did two pre-order waves, and the first wave was Prime only, and the second was whoever? Would you feel that that was a dick move, or no?
I would think Nintendo wouldn't be okay with that, because, I don't know, because they're basically locking it behind something. I mean, I don't know. This just seems kind of silly.
In my opinion, though, is it worse than when GameStop forces you to buy a bundle to get something? Because I don't think so.
But, yeah, I mean, I understand that. And that comes from more of there's no margin in anything, and so they have to make up their margin on that stuff by bundling in things that do have a margin for them. They figure if there's going to be a shortage like that they want to make sure they're guaranteed to sell through on that stuff. I think it'd more akin to I'm gonna charge you $20 to make a pre-order on this item type thing, and that doesn't go towards the item cost.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I'm with SSGO 100 Matt in chat. Honestly, though, I have money. Nintendo, just take it. I'm with you, buddy.
It's a tiny Linux machine that plays NES ROMs.
And I want it.
I mean, that's like just...
And I want it, Loki.
Why can't you just sell through on it?
All right. Let's move on. Let's move on to something more modern, Dark Sakura. What do you have for us?
Five Nights at Freddy's 6. I bet we're all looking forward to it, aren't we?
No.
Because it's been canceled.
I don't want to. No, I don't want to cheer. I know the game has its fans, so I'm not going to cheer this. But
I've been hearing that he's trolling his fans, actually. But
his quote though is that after forcing myself to keep working on it day after day, I realized something. I just don't want to work on this. He thinks each game should be the last, but then he doesn't want to do it. That's what he said.
Well,
it might get done.
Let me ask a two-part question. Dark Soccer, because you're a fan of Five Nights at Freddy's. You've made me play the older games with you. Remember when we did... One of my early Twitch streams was doing Five Nights 4 with you and Shane.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, God, these fucking jump scares. But do you think it's possible that maybe it is all a troll? Because he does have a tendency to do these things where he's like, oh, it's going to release in October. Just kidding. It's out today.
I don't know. I kind of don't care anymore.
Do you think the series has just jumped the shark in general?
I don't know. I mean, it's got its fans. There's people who will play it. But at this point, it's like I don't really get excited about releases anymore. Only a few here and there. Mm. Or about people working on them. Because every time I get excited about it, my heart gets broken. So I just don't care anymore. I will see the game when it's out and then I will be excited.
Was Five Nights at Freddy World that bad? I'm just kidding.
I didn't play it, honestly.
I think a lot of people passed on it after hearing some of the initial responses. But
yeah.
But I can also, but at the same time, I can also kind of, like, I can completely sympathize with this guy if it's not a troll. And, like, this is, like, I'm really ready to fucking do something else. And I think that's kind of what Five Nights at Freddy World was, is this guy probably feels like, oh my God, this is like the only thing I can ever do. And maybe he's kind of getting sick of it. You know what I mean? Like, I've always said, we'll stop doing OLR when we stop having fun with it, you know? So maybe if this guy is not having fun with it anymore, or is seeing the joy in it and wants to do other projects that he does see joy in, even if they don't turn out as great, like Five Nights at Freddy World started, maybe he has the right to go do it, right? That's art.
At any rate, he says he's not abandoning the series, so we'll see what that means.
He should just sell it to Microsoft. See what they do with it. All right, but there's still a movie happening at some point, I think, right? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. All right, Loki, what's next?
All right. So on the mobile game front, definitely things are going pretty well. So there has been apparently 150 million plus downloads of Super Mario Run. Now, it's not necessarily purchases, but just at least downloads of that. They don't mention how many of those are actually purchases. They're saying, though, that they have apparently Fire Emblem Heroes is doing pretty well as well. So they've made, I guess they have a 15 million downloads with that. They're saying, though, that there's still people paying for that as well. And then, of course, you know, Animal Crossing will be coming soon. So
I was going to say, they haven't really updated us on Animal Crossing or Zelda or any of those other mobile projects they're working on, huh?
No, not yet. Mm. And then on the Pokemon Go front, there is the anniversary of Pokemon Go. So starting July 6th, they're going to be running an event through July 24th, and you'll be able to catch a special Pikachu with Ash Ketchum's hat. So good luck finding that, because I found, like, at least with the last event, and I'm not sure about this one because I haven't seen any Pikachus yet, but for some stupid reason, there's no Pikachus that spawn during the entire event. But hey, there is something that you can get your hands on. That's a special anniversary box in the store. Yep, buy that fucking consumable shit.
It's a horrible value. Unless you really like Ultra Balls and Max Revives, it's a horrible value. Like, they've done some boxes. They did some when Gen 2 came out. They did some boxes that were a really good deal. These are not. So I would just really think twice before buying it. I mean, because, like, I think it's as much... The box costs as much as the raid passes and the incubators would anyway. And then it's like they kind of throw in some Ultra Balls and stuff. It's not the best deal. So usually check your game once in a while because usually Pikachu spawns here at the house.
Have you caught one with the hat yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't been very diligent in looking. And it seems like when those events happen, that's when the Pikachu stop spawning here.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what happened last time with the was the party hat or something like that. Like none of them there. I was looking for it and nothing would spawn with the Pikachu.
So there, I can tell you a place downtown, like a park that I think I heard is a Pikachu nest right now downtown.
Yeah.
So it might be a place to look. All right. Downtown too far for you, Logie.
Yeah, it is too far. Just like a stupid party hat on a character. I don't care. Pikachu's shit anyways in the game. So.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I never use my Pikachu or Raichu. I always use Jolteon.
Pikachus are fucking impossible to catch, and they're just shit. So, I don't know. Why are the starter Pokemon so hard to catch? It makes no sense.
Have you done any of the raiding at all? The ratings are fun.
Yeah, I've done the raiding. Yeah. There's a Flareon on your park over here that's on the raid right now. But I have a bunch of those.
Boy, those raids pop up frequently. We just caught a Magikarp there earlier.
those are funny.
Magikarp can be a raid. But sometimes it's kind of like, well, if I don't do this, I'm not going to do any raid today. Well, plus the Magikarp that you catch, they're always almost always wonders. So they're really good for getting Gyarados. Somebody pointed this out last week, is that you don't get wonders and eggs anymore. Or, I'm sorry, you don't get Magikarps and eggs anymore. So if you want to wonder Magikarp, you have to do the raid. So it's a good way to get that. And I hear shinies seem to be showing up more on the raid thing, but I have yet to get the shiny. So anyway, let's talk about one more thing here before we get to the classic game of the week, and that has to do with the whole toys to games phenomenon, or how the brakes are kind of on that right now. You know, Activision isn't doing a new Skylanders game this year. You probably noticed.
Yeah, they've run out of ideas like several years in a row.
They weren't there at E3 this year. So what's the deal? Is Activision done with Skylanders? Did the death of Disney Infinity lead to toys to games kind of going away? Well, there's a comment here from Activision's CEO that was being interviewed here. It is trying to look up the guy's name. There it is. Eric Hirschberg, the CEO of Activision, said a new market has been created with Skylanders. It was a way of making toys relevant to 21st century kids who are interactive entertainment consumers in their DNA. And so on one level, it wasn't surprising to see that rush into the genre, but it certainly did create a more difficult macro environment. Skylanders, we're still behind it. We have supported Imaginators with expansion packs in the way that we didn't with previous games. We have a great Skylanders TV series on Netflix. I had no idea that Skylanders is on Netflix.
Yeah, great's a stretch, but yeah, they do have a series on Netflix.
I guess Netflix does really try to get a lot of kids programming, because Netflix is kind of great for that, is my understanding.
I tried to get my kids to watch it, and they didn't want to.
Also mentioning, we have a mobile game in development that we're really excited about, and we're going to see what the right way to continue to invest in it. What I know is that people love those characters in that world. There's nothing broken about the franchise. It just became a little bit more different as a business proposition with all that competition. We shall see how it plays out. Well, there you go.
But there wasn't that much competition. In fact, actually, I would say last year there was just Lego Dimensions, and that was your only competition.
Well, Bobby Blackwolf in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says rumors and sources a few months ago said that Lego Dimensions has been discontinued as well. They allegedly canceled some of the year 2 expansion packs. Womp womp.
I'm fine with that. They put out a ton of content, so I mean,
yeah, they did support that one game with a shit ton of content.
To be fair, I mean, this is, I'm blaming Lego for this. That shit's fucking expensive. It's a stupid Lego, you know, upcharge and all that shit. Those packs are too damn expensive. The characters are too damn expensive. I love Legos. I would totally buy all those without even owning the game. But that shit is too fucking expensive to own as it is now.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. All right. Well, you know what? Let's travel back to a simpler time, shall we? When you didn't have to have extra toys were toys, figures were figures, and you used your imagination to play them. And meanwhile, you had your console that was for your video games, and you needed a controller and maybe a power glove, but that was it.
And incoherent screaming.
It's time for the classic game of the week, where Dark Soccer is going to step into the vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you brats, you should be checking out this game this week instead. Dark Soccer, what is the classic game of the week?
I picked Dragon Ball Z Hyper Dimension, which came out for Super Famicom in Japan on March 29th, 1996, and for Super Nintendo in Europe in February 1997. This is also the last of the Dragon Ball Z games to come out for the Super Famicom. It basically follows the anime. It went through the Frieza stuff, the Kid Buu stuff. You have to continue credits after certain characters' deaths, and some of it is, you know, not quite perfect with the story. But the thing that I really liked about this game in particular is the desperation moves. You basically start off with a life bar of 99, you know, points or whatever, and you can charge it from 1 to 99, sorry, I was missing that. But when it hits below 80, you get your desperation moves that cause higher damage. And it also has different tiers on the levels. So you can fly, you know, and hit from your different levels. You can do the background and foreground, kind of like in Fatal Fury. And it was just a really solid fighting game. The other thing, too, is that since this was a later Super Famicom game, The sprites are super gorgeous. I mean, it's one of the prettiest, I would say, fighting games that came out on the system. It also has a tournament mode, so you can play with up to 8 people in a tournament, you know, style game. I mean, pretty much what's called tournament mode. But you also have a full practice mode for practicing your attacks and all of that too. And you can also do an extra type of versus mode that lets you either fight against the character or for 2 players against each other. You know, it's how it was with fighting games. The thing I liked was the tournament mode, and I was lucky enough one time to play a tournament mode with this game when I was in college. It was really fun. You've got a cast of 8 characters, and you've got some non-playable characters, but it also, though, the story mode in here, like I said, the story mode is a little bit different. It didn't have exactly the right characterizations for who played what, but it was a really good game. On top of that, you also have, like, special fights that you can do if you clear a story mode without using a Senzu Bean. And one of them is fighting Gotenks, which is actually a fun fight. There's really not much to say about this game. It only came out on the Super Famicom. It wasn't released for any other system. One of the disappointing things about this is that it didn't have my favorite character in it, which was playing Future Trunks, but it was also the first one that you could play as Boo in, and that was pretty cool. But the game, though, is just, I mean, I could talk about Shin Butoden, which was on Saturn. I still think this is honestly almost a better game. And that's it. It's Dragon Ball Z Hyper Dimension.
But this is not, now you'll have to forgive me because my knowledge on the import games for Super Nintendo is not as strong, but this was not the only Dragon Ball Z game on Super Nintendo, right? Because no. I remember playing one, but it wasn't this. Because I'm looking at this and I'm like, no, this is not the game I played.
No, there was Super Butoden 2 and then 3.
Okay.
And then Hyper Dimension was the last one.
Got it.
And then they went on to the Saturn one, which had it was Shin Butoden and Ultimate Battle 22 for PlayStation.
Yeah.
And then we had GT, which actually GT was the first one that came out here, which I sold that game so fast. It was not very good. I kind of wish I had waited to sell it because it was worth some money, you know, and I got rid of it at the wrong time. But hey, it's a fun game, though. I wouldn't say that it's among my favorites of the series. I honestly do like Super Butoden 3 a little bit better than this one, but it is notable as being one of the last games in the series on that system.
Right.
And also, it's just fucking pretty.
And it was a very late Super Nintendo release in general. Yeah.
It's really, really well done.
Yeah. All right, there it is, your classic game of the week, Dragon Ball Z Hyper Dimension. So Darksoccer's been on a Dragon Ball kick lately, so...
I figured I'd have to mention one of the games
since I
haven't done one before.
Yeah, so no, fair enough. I mean, there were a ton... I mean, also, it was, you know, back in a day when the internet wasn't as prolific, you know, it wasn't really... As in, it wasn't there. So we didn't really get knowledge of a lot of those games that were in Japan only, you know what I mean? So when we'd hear about them, it was like, why didn't we get this game?
We had to order from importers that you found in the back of EGM.
Yeah.
And which is actually how I bought my first import game, which is the Sailor Moon S fighting game.
I just
it had Chibi butt, Chibi Moon's butt attack.
I just remember the video store by me when I grew up, like randomly rented some Super Famicom games, but they would have the converter with it. So that way, when you rented it, you just plug it in your Super Nintendo and the Dragon Ball, one of those Dragon Ball fighting games. I don't remember which one. But I would say it's the one that opens with the guy screaming, but I realize I could literally be any of them.
That's any of them that opens with someone screaming.
So, but that was like one of the, like the first game I ever rented that was a Famicom game, but I played it on my Super Nintendo, and that was pretty cool.
Now, right before I moved out here, I came across, I had the Ranma 1/2 Hard Battle that came out in the U.S., and I found that they had the Japanese Hard Battle at this, like, you know, used game shop, and they couldn't sell it because no one wanted to it's Alabama, no one wanted to buy a game in Japanese. Oh. So I traded my copy, my US one, for their Japanese one, because I had already made the mods to my Game Genie to play it, and I was so happy because I had all the good voices. So that's my story about the Ranma 1/2 Hard Battle fighting game.
All right,
and I still have that copy too.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, you guys. We'll be back, though. There's plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come. We got more news. I think at least one email tonight. And phone calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. When we come back after this with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, July 9th, 2017, episode number 693 of our show, already in progress and moving into the second half of the show. You know, I realized I forgot a game that I played this week because it was so fast. But so Steam obviously had their huge sale, right? So I did do a little live stream of Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 because I ended up buying that on Steam because it was only like $5 or something like that. I think, which last week, didn't we get an email that was like, what did you buy in the Steam sale? And at that point I was like, nothing, but I probably will.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I did. But, you know, part of the whole Steam sale is that around the time the Steam sale happens, all these other, like, Microsoft was having a big sale on Xbox. PlayStation had a big sale.
They're still having their sale, actually.
Is the PlayStation one still going on, too, or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, I checked it today.
Okay, so I bought for, like, $3.74 or something like that, $3.74. It was, like, a trio of old-ass arcade games, Pac-Man, Dig Dug, and Galaga. And I was like, oh, sure, I've had collections with these games before. But what the hell? It's like $3. So I picked up that, and I started playing Dig Dug. And as I'm playing Dig Dug, oh, my God, I was popping like a trophy every 5 seconds. It was like, you got a fruit. Trophy. You exploded a monster. Trophy. You crushed two monsters with a rock. Trophy. You beat round one. Trophy. You beat round two. Trophy. Like, there was like so – for like a game that I essentially played $1 for – there was probably like 30 trophies in Dig Dug. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that's pretty cool. You know, I know we talked a little bit about the whole trophy thing last week at the top of the show, but I think it's neat when you take an old school arcade game like Dig Dug and do something modern to it like that, like trophies. But I was just like, dang, I didn't realize how freaking loaded this game was with achievements. I started going through the list. I was like, wow. They not only brought in the stuff from the Xbox 360 version of the game where, like, you can dig out the entire board and get a trophy that way, but, like, there was all sorts of stuff in there. So I thought that was just kind of funny. So something else, speaking of live streaming, because I did do that live stream. It's probably the only live stream I did this week was that stream of Pac-Man Championship Edition 2. I don't know if you guys saw in The Office, but Alan bought me for my birthday a green screen.
I saw. Know you said that. I haven't watched.
Yeah, go at some point. Go peek in The Office because Alan's gaming there right now. it's like that room is split in two now with this giant green screen on PVC.
I was like, do we have an unknown spat?
I know, right? Doesn't it look like that thing that like siblings do when they're having a fight?
And it's like, a line down the
Yeah, screen. I draw a line down the This is your side of the room. No, it's kind of what it looks like now. It's really funny. And it confuses the hell out of the cat. But, you know, and unfortunately, because it gets really hot in there, like when I'm not using the green screen, I have to like throw it up over the PVC pipe. But I don't want to wrinkle it because that fucks it up. But I have to get the airflow in there because, my God, it can get so – because, you know – here in Northern California in the valley, it's like what yesterday was 105, I think. Like, it's been crazy hot over here. So, yeah, crazy. Anyway, going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dark Tetsuya says, I want to say Pac-Man Championship Edition Deluxe Plus was kind of like that with the trophies. Yeah, well, I think it had a handful of trophies, but then they had all their in-game achievements too, which was interesting. So, yeah. But anyway, just something else I wanted to throw out there for my game of the week. Old ass retro stuff, Pac-Man and Dig Dug, even if it is a newer Pac-Man game. But and then the green screen, which is it's still not working perfectly. We have to do this whole thing because there's still folds in it, because when they mail it to you, it's all folded, and the folds are causing the green to not pick up right. Like, and yes, I've been in OBS chroma key settings and changing.
What's it made
everything.
Out of?
Seriously, it could be a piece of fabric you bought at Joann's.
You know what? Get a wet towel. Put it in your dryer, and then tack the end down.
Actually, the
thing... Or wait, the bottom.
So, Alan went online to try to troubleshoot this, and it's a similar idea. He saw a thing that was get a spray bottle, spray down, as your screen is hanging, spray down the screen, but not enough so that it's, like, actually dripping water off it, but just enough to be wet, and then as it dries, it won't be wrinkled anymore. I thought that was an interesting solution, so...
You can also get, an iron with a steam function.
Yeah.
And though an air steam it.
Tiger Claw also points out green screens require a good amount of lighting in order for it to work properly. Oh, yes, I'm aware. I have another light, but here's the thing. So the green screen kit, it did come with a light, but I'm a little afraid to use it because of the heat. But it is an LED light, so I'm thinking it won't be so bad.
That shouldn't put off any heat.
Yeah, I just need to fucking try it. But, like, when I look at it, I go, oh, my God. Like, I'm not going to use that in the middle of summer. But I think it's an LED light, so you're right. It wouldn't put off any heat. Like, this guy here, right next to us in the studio, this puts off heat because this is the more traditional bulb, which is part of the reason why it starts to get freaking hot in here during the show. But I don't think the LED light would be as bad. Maybe I should sub this out for the LED light. It would be cooler in here doing OLR. Anyway, yeah, SG100 Matt points out Travis has a green screen on his show for a while. He got it to work well. Yes, I actually did when I did my stream the other night and I was using the green screen. I did space just like Travis used to do. So, you know, a little homage, I suppose. There you go. All right, moving on. We got to get to some more video game news. Let's do some rapid fire news. Loki.
So this was surprising because I sort of remembered this was a thing that they were teasing like last year or something. The Tomorrow Children, which is a game that, you know, it was one of those strange games that they had during like an E3 trailer reel that they were doing. And I guess it did actually come out back in September and is now being shut down November 1st because apparently it's not very popular. But that was pretty quick. Only 10 months. It's 10 months and they've already announced the that's shutting down. So I guess it'll be out for about, you know, 14 months. But wow, that's quick. And then, of course, you know, this is kind of cool. I did play a little bit of this on PC, but Thimbleweed Park is headed to Switch. So that's Ron Gilbert's new game. If you're a fan of, like, Maniac Mansion or, say, the Monkey Island series, you're going to love this game. So that's going to be coming out on Switch soon. Right now, it's currently out on PC and Xbox One.
This is a game I've heard a lot about, but I just haven't really gotten around to playing yet, so I want to check that out.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, cool. So, we mentioned earlier in the show the Castlevania series. We personally have not got around to watching it yet, but I know a lot of you guys have, and I'm hearing a lot of good things about it. But here's the deal. The Castlevania series on Netflix has already been renewed for season 2. So there it is. Just hours after the first 4 episodes went live, they renewed it for season 2. So there must have been a lot of people hitting it right away, or they just had a good feeling based on the buzz or whatever. So, yeah, cool. Season 2 is going to double the episode count. So there will be 8 episodes for season 2 as opposed to the 4 we had for episode 1. No word on who's going to write it and so forth. But, yeah, hopefully that'll work out well and the fans will be pleased. And I did allude to this earlier in the show, but let me mention this about Blaster Master Zero officially. I think this is really rad. New DLC that's available in the game. You know, Gunvolt and Galgun were already added as characters in the game previously, and I'm so mad because I missed the free period for Galgun. Stupid me, forgot to check the game, and I missed the period. But I have some chances to get some other characters because they just announced two more characters. I think they announced this at Anime Expo. Two more characters that are going to be joining the lineup for Blaster Master Zero. Shantae, you stay in Blaster Master Zero, but obviously Shantae from The Pirate's Curse and all that. She is the character that just went live a couple days ago. And then Shovel Knight is being added into Blaster Master Zero 2. That's awesome. So what's cool about it is that they like bring their abilities into the Blaster Master format. So it feels like you're playing like a crossover game. So it's pretty rad. So, and again, the other thing I really love about the way Blaster Master Zero has been doing the DLC is that for the first 2 weeks, the DLC is free. Now, granted, stupid me, I missed it, but that's my own fault on Galgun. But you know, I grabbed Shantae the minute she went up. I think it's really cool because that means like if you're loyal, you already bought the game when it first came out, you have a chance to like stock up on this DLC, whereas people who kind of come late to the party, they're going to have to buy it. So I think that's like a really cool thing to do for the early supporters of the game. So yeah. Like, you know, props to the team behind this game. I think I'm that gif right now of who is that? Tajari P. Henson with the cell phone going, "You're doing great, sweetie. You're doing great, sweetie." That's me right now with this game. All right. moving on to Dark Sakura.
Well, we brought up the Night Trap 25th edition. Well, there is another, and I'm using Cody Fingers mode in it, which is a survivor feature, which is really just the regular game, that you have like enemies running all over the place and you have to, you know, decrease their number. Until you save everybody, it's the same thing. But at least they're trying to do things with it, so whatever.
Isn't it supposed to be without all the other cutscenes or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. But you're supposed to just see the proper scenes anyway when you go through all the monitors, so whatever. And then for Mass Effect Andromeda, the last patch that came out removed the De Novo anti-tamper protection, which has already been proven to be pretty easy to break. There was a challenge that was put out for people to break it, and they did it, like, in a few days.
They just found out no one wanted to steal the game.
Stop it.
I think I honestly look at that as the last sign of giving up, so I'm still angry. So, anger.
No, I get, like, I already mentioned this to you last week. I had that moment last week where it finally clicked for me, and I get it. Like, I get mm-hmm. it. It's frustrating. All right. Let's move on to happier things, like games that are coming out in stores this week. I know we already talked about we have a couple big ones. Right, Loki?
That's correct. This week we've got Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age on PlayStation 4. Fable Fortune, that's a card game based off Fable, that's coming out on Xbox One and Windows PC. And Derelict Fleet on PC and PlayStation 4. And finally, Energy Balance on the Vita. That's it.
Traveling to Japan, briefly. Final Fantasy XII, The Zodiac Age, also getting a Japanese release on the PlayStation 4 this week on July 13th. There's another game also coming out on the PlayStation 4. It's called Hakoniwa Company Works is the name of this game. I'm not sure what this is. It looks like it might be a little bit Minecrafty, but like kind of anime mixed in. Like, but I'm getting a very Minecraft vibe from the graphics. Like maybe it's kind of building on the success of something like Dragon Quest Heroes or something. But that is a game that's out on the PlayStation 4 this week. Those are the two really big releases. Nothing really to note on the Nintendo Switch, but the 3DS, there's actually new 2DS LL, that's what they call it in Japan. The black and turquoise and the white and orange, those are actually hitting Japan this week on July the 13th. And so there are a ton of accessories that go with that as well. But as far as games go, you can check out Hey, Pikmin comes out in Japan this week, along with a new figure to go with that. There is also Ever Oasis, has another entry in the game. Ever Oasis Sire to Tanibito no Mirage comes out this week. So there you go, Japanese releases. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
A few things. We have Minecraft Story Mode Season 2 for everything. That's on the 11th, and on the 12th, we have The End Is Nigh for PC.
Yep. All right.
That's it.
There it is. To answer this question in chat over at live.vognetwork.com, Kassin in chat says, so is Final Fantasy XII a remake? Pretty much, but it is the... It's not the international version because they gave it a different name because it's kind of like they went in and they tweaked some stuff with the game. So it's like you're getting the final edition of the game that had come out in Japan before, but it never came out here before. And what they had tweaked with it is that they kind of redid the job system. Like in Final Fantasy XII, you have job boards. And so my understanding is that in the Zodiac Age, you can kind of pick, I think in this one you get to do two different jobs at once. I think originally it was one, now it's two. But it's like you're a little more limited in how you kind of craft your characters once you pick what job types you want them to be. But that also ensures that you don't fuck them up. So it's kind of a double-edged thing there. But so it's a little bit, I guess you could say it's like the definitive version of the game of sorts. Because, yes, they're also going back and, you know, doing the little tweaks here and there, similar to what they did with Final Fantasy X, to put this on the PlayStation 4. So, all right. Anyhow, let's get to the mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And we read your emails here live on the show. And yet again, I don't have the damn music to put in the background here. So, oh, wait, I found it.
Yay.
I found the song. We finally returned to the regular mailbag music. Yay. Dark Sakura, dive in head first and find the email at participate@orangesoundsradio.com.
Yeah.
Just one.
Hey, guys and gal. Just wanted to respond to your topic from last week. I love my trophies. Good. I take great pride in my trophies and my trophy count and my 10 platinums. Yeah, I could have gotten more, but there are so many games to play. I don't buy a game and say, yes, I'm a platinum this one. For me, it's a show of accomplishment. I could have several friends on PSN that have the same game, and maybe they'll have trophies that I don't. I'll investigate to see if it's obtainable. And I think that hunting and gathering is more important than the count. Dude, you got that trophy? I've been working on that bitch for a minute. Seeing that someone loved the game so much that they felt compelled to acquire all the trophies isn't always a display of ego fapping. It's a challenge. Hey, we both have the same game. I got this trophy. Can you? It also extends to the gameplay. I can beat a game in no time, but to get all the trophies and earn a platinum means that this was one of the best ever. Some games, like The Walking Dead, will dish out a plat just for completing it. Most games will pit you against severe challenges or even optional bosses. I personally won't add someone to my friends list with less than 900 trophies. It's not an ego thing. It's just saying that I take my gaming very seriously and expect that the friends on my console of choice do the same. And I won't buy a game without trophies anymore. I spent $230 in the last few weeks on PSN because of their incredible sales. I didn't buy a single game to earn trophies, and I won't buy one without any. That is all. Some people like to beat games on the hardest difficulty just for the street cred. With trophies, I have receipts with dates and times. Thank you for the great show, Risimo. Okay, that's good. I'm glad that you like doing it that way. It's still completely inconsequential to me. I don't think the trophies are at all important.
Yeah, like, I respect this guy's angle. And I get the whole, like, when achievements are, like, hard to get, they can really be signs of, you know, dedication to the game or whatever. Like, you know, I did work at getting the Platinum Trophy on Diablo 3, and that was a big accomplishment for me. And why did I do it? Because I liked the game enough, and it was a goal for me to go after. Cool.
The thing for me is that it's so arbitrary, I'd rather have some kind of big reward for it. Other than that, I'm just doing it because I want to do it.
Right. And I seem to remember what you did bring up, that World of Warcraft you kind of liked because you got, like, mounts and shit for doing things.
Yeah, it's like sometimes, like, I would do things, like, if I was bored, like, supremely bored. But I more play the game for the enjoyment of the game. I'm competitive when it counts to be competitive. And when I am playing something that is for fun, unless it's a versus game, I'm not in any sort of competition. I don't need to look at what other people have accomplished to gain a self, a feeling of enjoyment of it. Mm-hmm. I don't have to look at, oh, well, this person's done this well, I have to do the same. That's not important to me.
Right.
My enjoyment of a game has nothing to do with what other people think of it, mm-hmm. or what other people have done in it. You know.
I would have been curious, though, you know, because remember this whole conversation started last week because we had that game on the market. Maybe I missed it in the email, but I don't think I heard it. We had that game on the marketplace last week that was like, what? It was the 99-cent slide puzzle game that was like,
yeah,
you get a trophy for pressing X and that whole thing. Like, that's kind of the thing. Remember, because that kind of started the whole conversation was, do trophies mean that much to you that you're going to pay 99 cents to just get trophies? And I don't get that sense from this email, but don't forget that was also kind of part of what started that whole discussion was like, are trophies like that important where it's like you will pay to get them? And I think we all kind of agree that was a little ridiculous. But I'm curious, would this guy have paid a dollar to get those trophies? I'm thinking no, based on the email, because there's no challenge, there's no reward. Well, there,
the thing that stuck out to me, and I'm really trying not to be my usual judgmental bitchy self over this, but picking your friends based on their accomplishments,
I'm a little worried about that too. That part kind of struck me as, ooh. Now maybe if it's like randos on PlayStation 4 and you don't know if you want to add them or not, I get that. But like, what if it's somebody you know in real life? Like, I'm not sure. Like, I'm kind of just hoping I'm misunderstanding that. Like, would you not put me on your friends list because I don't have 200 trophies? Well, I think I do, but
I'm sure I've got. I don't even care how many I have. I could look
after all this time. I'm sure I have plenty of trophies. But let me challenge this. I don't want to belabor this point too much, but let me challenge this. What if you had a friend who couldn't afford a PlayStation until just now?
Mm.
So they haven't had the time to build up those trophies. But they want to team up with you so they can try to get some. Because there are a lot of trophies for cooperative stuff. I kind of don't think this guy would turn their back on that. But
too
I don't know.
Friendo, you're not my friend anymore. You should have been on board with the...
I don't want to put words in dude's mouth either. But I just, you know, when I read that or when I saw that or heard that part of the email, I was a little bit like, but aren't there exceptions to every rule?
Well, it's just, I don't believe that there should be a condition like that unless it is like for random people. But if it's the people that you know, I would think that the point of being friends with them is to be friends with them and to play and enjoy games and talk to them. I really hate this whole expectation that these achievements have had. It's a participation award. I mean, yeah, you can participate harder, I guess, and get new ones, but I respect people who enjoy it, more power to you, but don't let that be the only reason for enjoying a game.
Yeah. And this, just to be fair to all angles, because that's what I try to do here on this show where every gamer has a voice, to be fair to this guy's angle, and going back to World of Warcraft for a minute, I used to see this all the time in World of Warcraft where it was, we are going to do a farming run of X boss, but you need to link me your achievement to prove that you've done it because this isn't a learning group type of thing. I've seen that before. And so maybe if that's kind of like the approach here is that like, I don't want to play ranked matches in Overwatch with you unless you've kind of proven you've gotten certain landmarks in that game. Like to that end, that's not unheard of. That isn't how I choose to do MMOs. I like to do learning stuff and all that, but that's cool if that's what you want to do. I'm certainly not going to tell you how to play your stinking games. So, all right. Good email. Good discussion. JD in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, that must be why I love achievements. It's because I'm a millennial and I want my participation trophies. But he puts a little sarcastic face after that. He's not serious.
I want avocado toast.
Don't you? Sounds amazing. Actually, do you want to hear like the moment when it's like, am I really from California? I don't really care for avocados.
I just like avocados.
I like avocados and I'm not from California.
Is it one of those things like In-N-Out where the people not from here like it way more than the people who live here do? Although In-N-Out's not bad, but it's just I'm always blown away how like anybody from out of the area is like, we have to go to In-N-Out. Oh my god! But then again, I used to be the exact same way about Dunkin' Donuts until we finally got one here. So who am I to fucking talk, right?
Yeah, their donuts are kind of eh.
But I will say this. I don't have the raging hatred for avocado because I certainly don't dislike it. Like, that's mayonnaise. Mayonnaise, I fucking hate. Do not get that shit anywhere near me. But, like, a California roll has avocado in it. I'll eat that. That's fine. I don't care.
So what's your opinion on Miracle Whip, then?
Straight from the seventh circle of hell and the innards of Satan's butthole.
But it's not mayonnaise, really. I mean, it's Miracle
But it's
Whip.
Worse. It's imitation mayonnaise.
It's salad dressing and not even Blech. Good.
Blech.
I will say this. I only eat one brand of mayonnaise if it's not handmade. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that, too. Where, like, there's, like, certain brands that people only have.
I grew up on Hellman's, which out here is Best Foods.
Uh-huh.
And I've had, like, the olive oil one, and it's okay. But if it's not made by hand, then it has to be that one brand.
But isn't that weird? You can still get Hellman's at Target, even though it's all Best Foods here.
Well, yeah, you can get it at a grocery outlet, too. But
it's weird.
Which, I actually, when I see a Hellman's one, I have to buy it because I just, it's that little bit of homesickness, you know?
And to be clear, since now I've got everybody in chat talking about donuts, it's the coffee. It was never about the donuts. Like, don't get me wrong. I can't pass up one of those filled donuts. But usually, like, here in California where Dunkin' is not nearly as prolific, we have, like, two in the entire Sacramento area. It's the ma-and-pa donut shops are, like, everywhere. And they're great. So.
Yeah, the Dunkin' Donuts that's nearby to me, they're dead all the time.
Oh, really?
I want one now.
All right. Moving on. And then in chat, Crazy Chocobo Nader hands Rob Roberts a mayo and Miracle Whip sandwich. If you want to wear that sandwich, then that would be a smart thing to do. But if you don't, I would advise against that. Like I always have friends that are like, oh, I'm going to get you a jar of mayonnaise for birthday as a joke. I'm like, okay, first of all, jokes are funny. Second of all, do you want to wear that? Like, I fucking hate mayonnaise. It is gross. Ugh.
I take the back. I also like QP mayonnaise.
Really?
The Japanese one. I like it for a topping on things.
And, oh my god, here's my biggest pet peeve. I went into a restaurant once. I'm like, does this have mayonnaise on it? And they're like, no, it's a garlic aioli. And I'm like, that's fucking mayonnaise. I know your fucking code languages to make basic ingredients sound fancy. Anyway.
Garlic mayolis.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I actually don't get mayo on my stuff when I'm around Rob. I don't care. Other people can have it, like, on a sandwich or whatever you want to do. Alan likes it. He fucking makes me watch him buy it at the store. But love makes you do crazy things, so I allow him to buy the mayonnaise. I just say, put it in the little part in the fridge where I don't have to look at it. All right. Let's move on. It's a video game show, not a What Food Do I Hate show. Loki.
So there's a game that's called Intelligent Design and Evolutionary Sandbox, and apparently there's still one achievement that no one has been able to crack yet, that one trophy. So the final Steam achievement is called Codebreaker, and what Codebreaker is, it's basically an encryption, a code that they have to solve in order to get this last achievement. And if they get the last achievement, what do they get as a reward? Not just the trophy, but they get the source code released for the game. So the game itself is more of like kind of designing your own ecosystem on a barren planet. And what the creator said is, now the source code is not going to necessarily allow them to, you know, won't answer all the questions on how to build the perfect ecosystem, but it will give them something else to explore, which is what my game is all about. And so, you know, basically kind of hinting at, you know, here's how you might be able to, you get some tips to make it better. I don't know. But I think it's kind of neat, though, that they're offering up the source code. But, yeah, no one's really figured it out yet. There's little bits of hints coming through different parts of the game. So they have, like, these kind of, like, wormhole portal things that are kind of spitting out some characters that are part of this. But no one's seemed to crack it yet. It's neat. Good way to kind of get that viral buzz on a game, I guess.
Especially when sometimes it's hard to be noticed on Steam. Like, this might be a good way to do it. I mean, it's probably not incentive for you, Loki, because you're not playing this game. But do you kind of get where people might find incentive in that?
I mean, definitely. I mean, there was, like, I remember the whole Chilliad stuff with Grand Theft Auto that people were kind of searching for Easter eggs with that and all sorts of cryptography stuff with that. And then come to find out there's really nothing there. And their, like, Easter egg mission that they have now is kind of crap. Which, by the way, they finally figured out how to actually unlock that mission. So you have to do 600 gun-running missions, and then you trigger a gun-running mission at night. And if you do it at the right time, you get that Easter egg one. But that's kind of lame. It's not a jetpack.
All right. Well, let's talk about Rayman, but not a new Rayman game, an old Rayman game, a very old Rayman game. There was actually a Rayman Super Nintendo version that was under development, and there was even a prototype demo. That was put online by a developer at Lizard Cube, and you can actually download this. So it was pretty cool. Twitter user Oakornut, I hope I said that right, actually put that up. He's the developer at Lizard Cube that put that up on Dropbox, and you can check that out because, you know, this is years old, and it's not like anybody's going to lose money off this. So there you go. Previously, there were images on Twitter posted when the prototype was found to still be working. So if you want to check that out, you can, although keep in mind because it is a prototype, it's not going to be perfect. It's going to be, if it was perfect, they would have released the damn thing, so, but they didn't. JD in chat says, Rayman for Super Nintendo Mini. Wouldn't that be something? But I guess one unfinished game that they actually went back and finished, which still blows my mind. I guess that's enough. All right, moving on. Dark Sakura.
Well, there is a book coming out that is honoring a phenomenon that we don't really see so much anymore, but it's the bad video game translation book. It's called This Be Book Bad Translation Video Games.
That's awesome.
And like one of the pictures in there is like, you are a sucking baby. And of course we're going to have, you know, probably the All Your Base and all that, but it feels like it's inspired by that. Here is a graveyard of you. So I don't know. I kind of have to have this book now. But
yeah, I was looking at some of the little screenshots that, you know, the demo pages they have out there. It looks pretty funny.
Apparently it's $15.
That's a fun little coffee table book for a nerd. I like it.
I think it would be fun. Yeah, I might have to pick this up.
Going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com.
I'll link it in the chat room.
Kasson in chat says, please tell me they have Harvest Moon screenshots. I'm sure any of the legendary stuff is in there. SG100 Matt says, all your base are belong to us has to be in it.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the big pictures.
All right. Moving on, just a couple more stories for you guys, and then we're going to open up the Skype line, see if you guys have anything to say. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. But first, Loki.
All right, so this is pretty cool follow-up to something we had talked about just a few weeks ago. So remember the whole thing with Rockstar Games kind of banning modding tools for the single player and stuff like that?
I do.
With Open 4? Well, Open 4 is back, so they re-enabled the downloads on it. They did put out a release talking about, you know, kind of what's going on. The only thing that isn't going to be released, though, is the fact that they were working on that kind of total conversion where they're adding the Liberty City map into the Grand Theft Auto 5 map. And of course, because that does violate their modding policy now, that unfortunately is not something that they're going to be continuing forward with. But the development of Open 4 will continue, though. So that is good. Finally get this whole thing resolved.
So we've kind of met halfway, I guess.
Yes, which is fine.
All right. How about Grand Theft Auto 6? Is it time to start talking Grand Theft Auto 6, or is
not
it too
yet,
soon?
Not probably.
No? I guess we got to get past Red Dead Redemption 2 first, huh? Before we can talk about that. All right. Well, one more story for you guys tonight, our last official story tonight before we get to the Skype line. There is a brand new rhythm and dance arcade game being released by Konami. That's right. It apparently is being location tested or demoed at a round one in Senashime. I hope I said that right. That is apparently also a location where a lot of Dance Evolution players, which was, what was that Kinect game?
that came out that was Konami. It's almost just like that in the arcade. Somebody in chat will remember. But anyway, Stepstar is the new game, and Stepstar is – it's interesting because the dance pad is like just one big mat. It's almost like one big kind of pad on the ground. It's not split up like DDR was. But in this game, there are four types of notes or steps. There's step, long, jump, and crouch, squat, down. Because I guess this measures you not just by the dance pad, but also by a camera that is watching you. Thank you, MXC. Dance Masters. I think that was it. That is the name of that game I was thinking of. Anyway, the interesting thing about this game, though, it's not a Bomani title. The Bomani logo is not on the flyers. It's not showing up on the cabinet either. So apparently, even though it's a dance game, it's not a Bomani game. So after all these years, everybody, confirmed, Bomani is dead. Thank you. Good night. All right, I'm just teasing. Put down your pitchforks and torches. All right. But anyway.
I just sighed. That's all.
Part of what I think is interesting about this game is that you can actually, I guess the game will actually make a YouTube for you. So it can actually, you can like automatically upload it to YouTube because, you know, social sharing is the big thing we do now, right? So you actually, the gameplay is recorded and then you can upload it to YouTube via the game's website and a 4-digit PIN that you use. And so like, and just so you get a sense of what the songs in the game sound like, you have like these guys. This is a cute song. It sounds a little like something out of Hatsune Miku, but I like it. These guys are getting into it, too. All right, anyways, makes for horrible radio, but that's one of the songs there. It's in Stepstar on the location test. So there you go. You can check that out if you live in Japan. Otherwise, you'll have to wait. But the good news is, if it's being tested at a round one, maybe it'll make the round ones over here for those of you guys that happen to live near one, which it seems like there are more and more of those round ones popping up. So that hopefully will be good news for you music game fans. But not Bomani fans, because remember, this isn't a Bomani game. All right,
Bomani is dead. long live Bomani.
All right, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call, the Skype line is open now. And while we wait for some calls, Loki, I want to check in and see if you have any last-minute stories.
Well, one thing we didn't talk about this week, which is it's drama, unfortunately. So there is this whole controversy going on around this woman named Alex Maurer, and she was someone that worked on a game called Star Mazer, and she's been DMCA copyright claiming a bunch of videos that have Star Mazer music in them because...
This has been going on for a couple weeks. Yeah. Just FYI. Somebody tweeted this at me because, you know, we had those Star Mazer guys on the show a while ago. So anyway, sorry. But yeah, this has been going on for a few weeks now, but go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
Anyways, so basically there's a whole, you know, a lawsuit's being filed against her now because she was a contractor and they had in their contract. I mean, as it is, when you're doing contract work, anything you produce in that contract, unless it's specifically stated there, is, you know, whoever you're working for, that's their copyright. So you don't own that anymore, but she feels that she does. And so she's, you know, claiming against them, and now even other companies like... Adult Swim Games, Turner Broadcasting, she filed a claim against them. Like, all sorts of crazy shit. And it's just not going to work out too well for her.
Here's the thing. This is a really tricky issue, and it's one that I don't want to really stick my nose in too far. But I also kind of get, like, it sounds like the Star Mazer team kind of did a spinoff or, like, a side game that was, and I forget the name of it or whatever, but apparently some of this stuff was used there, too. And so that's...
No, it wasn't even that because...
Well, that's what it was.
It's a bunch of stuff. And she felt that she was due some money regarding this, but she doesn't have the rights to this stuff. And now, thankfully, a lot of the videos are coming back from their claim status on there. Like I said, there is a lawsuit now being filed against her. She's filed death threats, or she's made death threats against people, sent emails, you know, threatened to kill herself. It's just, it's a big, huge mess. It's just, it's bad.
Yeah, it's...
But, yeah, hopefully you know, they thought that she was getting the help that she needed.
I hope that she gets some guidance with that.
But she's just kind of doubling down.
Going after the users, there's not going to, like the YouTubers and stuff, there's not, if she has an issue with Starbase, I'm not going
to. Well, it wasn't even because.
I don't know if she, I don't know all sides of the story. Yeah. So again, I'm not going to try to stick my nose in it. But if she has a legitimate claim against it, because, you know, at face value, if she was told this is going to be for one game and then all of a sudden now it's two games, I can sort of see where there's concern. But that's between her and those guys, and they need to work it out with their leaders, right, and all stuff. Dragging all these other fucking people, right, into YouTube whole reason, and stuff, no winners.
The whole
there.
Reason she was
no
doing that there. Is because she was trying to get, you know, basically taking it on the YouTubers so that the company gets attention from it. You know, that they're like, the YouTubers are supposed to get
well,
mad.
Well, that backfired spectacularly, right, on her, yeah, didn't it? So
it was ridiculous.
But at the same time, the psychological stuff that can come with that can really, like, the internet's a fucking savage place,
well, right,
sometimes.
And then she basically doesn't own this music, and she's literally, like, sometimes claiming making three claims against the channel. That knocks the channel, that's bye, your channel's gone. Mm. Yeah, at that point.
But this is also something where, again, I blame YouTube. This is also on YouTube for not being content creator friendly, yet it continues to be one of the only options out there. Anyway, this issue's a fucking mess. That's all I have to say. I do. Dungeon Buster's been educated on this issue, so I just want to read this in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Dungeon Buster says, Starmazer the game is still being made, but there's a spinoff game called Starmazer DSP, that was it, that some backers are upset about because they're asking, why are they working on that instead of the main game? The devs have also been bad at communicating updates to the main project. The last huge update was last November. So, and then, you know, I have to admit, I really get irked at some of these stories because then I go, well, you know, we had him on our show and we backed the project and all that stuff. So I'm rooting for him and I want to see him succeed. But it also kind of doesn't look great on us when we brought on these projects and hyped them up and they're not.
But how are we supposed to know? I mean,
yeah, we don't. But it just makes me leery of Kickstarters in the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I don't know. Anyway, just throwing that out there. Anyway, if anyone from that team happens to be listening, or if this composer happens to be listening, open door if y'all want to come on the show and talk about it. Open door. Every gamer gets a voice. So, all right. Yeah, and Dungeon Buster says, it's not your fault. There's no way to tell. No, I know that, but at the same time, you know. All right, let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on Orange Launch Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Raginator.
Hey, Raginator. What's on your mind, buddy?
Not a whole lot. Call is semi-related to the email that I had sent in last week.
Wait a minute. I have to ask a question because you're on video on Skype, and I know this isn't great radio, but are we being projected on a screen behind you? Is that like your computer on a projector?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you watch a lot of movies on Steam and all that stuff, so that makes sense. You might have a projector set up for that.
Yeah. Well, I play a lot of my DVDs and whatnot. I have my projector and then my, you know, iTunes content, so on and so forth. So,
all right. Sorry, I had to be nosy and ask, but you said you had to follow up to last week's email.
Yeah. Now, just to refresh everyone's memory, one thing I brought up was the Super Nintendo Mini, or whatever the official name is, and I gave an anecdote as to. No, my buying the Super Nintendo way back in the day, you know, so on and so forth. And on that note, I wanted to ask you two related questions. Now, whenever you, the three of you, bought your systems, especially way back in the day, you know, with your limited funds through babysitting or paper routes, whatever. And considering how expensive some of the games could be, especially for 20 years ago or plus, what kind of, like, for like a better term, research did you, the three of you do, especially considering that we didn't really have, like, the internet as we know it today?
Okay, I like this question. So 20 years ago, what influenced your game buying decisions? Because there was no internet, there was no Metacritic. What was it 20 years ago, Loki?
Well, I'd subscribe to magazines and see what looks nice. And then, of course, 20 years ago, we had the whole video and game rental scene. So we didn't have to make a purchase. You could just rent it and see if it's something you like. And or play it at a friend's house.
Jamie? Yeah.
It was, oh, I like this in the arcade. Oh, it's coming out.
When it was Street Fighter 2 and Mortal Kombat, absolutely.
Pretty much all I played was RPG and fighting games and lots and lots and lots of Kirby's Avalanche.
Yeah, I would say it's kind of like half what Loki said and half like magazines like GamePro, EGM, and all that. Like that was kind of what we had instead of the internet then. So that was definitely what went into it.
Yeah. At least for me, it's a lot of what you say. In my case, I read for a number of years. I did read Nintendo Power, but I kind of put that by the wayside only because I kind of figured, hey, this magazine's put up on Nintendo themselves. This magazine's basically over-glorified ads. Obviously, they're not going to say, hey, our games suck, So I started reading other magazines like GamePro, like you mentioned, and whatnot. On top of that, I don't know if you remember, there was a GamePro TV that had a brief run on there. I saw the videos on there. That's how I discovered Castlevania 4. And then, of course, some other kids in the neighborhood had such and such game on such and such system. That's how I checked it out. And that's how I based a lot of my decisions.
Yeah, a lot of times TV footage and video stuff, like what little did get to TV, was huge influencers on the decision, for sure.
Now, as for my second question, which kind of relates to my previous question, for the longest time, I personally can say that I was a diehard Nintendo fanboy. I had the original Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, and I even got the N64 in the spring of 97. And right around the time that I was going to my local Toys R Us to buy the N64, I saw the PlayStation 1 at a demo kiosk with one of those jam packs that they had. And now, I honestly, at the time when Nintendo fanboy, was a little conflicted because on one hand, I said to myself, wow, these games out there on the jam pack look awesome. I want to play them, but at the same time, as being a Nintendo fanboy, I felt almost like, for lack of a better term, traitorous. Oh my God, am I actually considering playing, buying a competitor system?
That's a lot of ridiculous shit that the advertising campaigns put on our head and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, so that being said, ultimately, I did get the PlayStation 1 a few weeks later, but all that being said, I would like to ask, have you ever had conflicting emotions about buying such a such system for similar reasons?
No,
or?
Not me. I'll open this up to the co-host. No, never me. But it was just the reality was I didn't. If I had the money, I would have bought them all. But I never had that kind of money. So you had to make a choice. And usually those choices were heavily influenced by, what did my friends have and, what was available in that regard. But I really wouldn't buy stuff out of loyalty. Mm. Shit. I wish at a young age I'd been able to afford a Neo Geo. I remember renting a Neo Geo. You could rent the whole damn system and like a game or two for like $15 for a few days, and I remember renting Fatal Fury Special so I could play that on Neo Geo. I had the fucking arcade in my house. It was awesome.
We might be selling ours.
Really?
Yep. We haven't played it a whole lot, and that'd give us a few grand.
No. Yeah, I guess so. I guess those things are worth a lot. So, All right.
Yeah.
Raginator, I'm going to let you go so we can try to squeeze some more calls. But good questions tonight. Take care, buddy.
Sure.
All right.
All right. Have a nice night.
You too. Bye. Bye. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call, we'll leave it open for just a couple more minutes here. But if you are on the fence on if you should call or not, you should probably call right now because we might close it up soon. Let me check in with Loki. Any other last minute stories that we have?
No, not really.
No. Well, gee. All right.
Sorry. I mean, what do you want? I mean...
Yeah, I know, I know. Well, I'm just trying to buy some time. We wait for another call here. Any games y'all are planning to play this week? Final Fantasy 12 for me.
I'm still working on actually starting programming this game. But it's not for, you know, it hasn't been completely wasted time. So, I've been gathering other things. I've been trying to figure out, like, the storyline or whatever for the game I'm going to be, you know, working on, and also finding music and their like stylistic assets and stuff that I kind of want to base, you know, like kind of like, I guess, like a board, if you will, of like, okay, I kind of like the way this looks. I want to kind of use that as like an inspiration board. There you go. And so, yeah, I've been just kind of doing that stuff.
What about you, Jimmy?
I actually finished up some writing. I was considering starting my book.
Oh.
I've been world building so much, I might just get it going. But
Talking Shit and Naming Names by Jamie.
No. But other than that, I've still got Ultra Despair Girls to get started on. And I've been enjoying Xenoverse 2 so much, I don't really want to play anything else.
All right. Well, the phone lines look like they're slowing down, so I think that means it's time to close them up. But thank you guys who did call in. Thanks, Raginator. And thanks for the emails, of course, and all the chat comments tonight. If you think of something after the fact, you can always give us a shout on Twitter at OLR. You can leave us a comment over at VogNetwork.com or talk to us throughout the week, either in our IRC channel at Vog Network or on the new Discord. Either way would be fantastic. But I think it is that part of the show where we're going to wrap things up. So I want to thank you guys, as always, for listening to Orange Lounge Radio. And if you like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please remember to leave a 5-star review where you found this show, either on iTunes or Google Play. And, of course, we also say tell a friend about the show. Help us spread the word where every gamer has a voice. We got to have all the gamer voices here to air them. So word of mouth goes a very, very, very long way. We always appreciate it. So I guess we will close it up tonight by getting everybody's final thoughts. Loki, your final thought tonight.
So I was looking in chat and they were talking about the OTAN. I haven't even figured – I didn't remember if they even launched the campaign for that, because I know that dude was talking about the OTAN for like the longest time, and they were – it's like bouncing between like Kickstarter and Indiegogo or whatever it was. I don't remember. But like – yeah, that was a shit show. There's no way that was going to happen. That's it.
And Dark Soccer, your final thought tonight.
I wish I had a quesadilla.
Cheese and tortillas.
I just want the cheese, really. It's the melted cheese that's the best part. The tortilla is just a vehicle for deliverance of said cheese.
And that reminds me, I did see, was it that the tease video that Alton Brown's bringing Good Eats back, which is fantastic.
Oh, okay. How about Unwrapped with Mark Summers? That was my favorite. No?
Yeah, right. I'd go for that.
All right. All right. That's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. My final thought tonight would be I want to get to my coloring book this week. I saw my Golden Girls coloring book I need to get to this week.
Your pencils arrived at my house.
Yay!
I forgot to bring them.
All right. That's okay.
So that means you have to come over.
Well, isn't it a nice thing that I have to go drop you off anyway? So...
Oh, that's right. Okay.
There we go. All right. So that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.